much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Wakey, wakey. Good morning. You and I have quite a day ahead of us.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Holly, it's nice of you to say I'm nice, but you're the one who's nice.
Honestly, I'll always believe you're loving. I get the biggest kick out of trading compliments with you.
Lightly strokes your cheek. You and me forever.
Kisses your neck again and mumbles, I love you.
Smiles wide, wrapping my arms around your waist and twirling us around, kissing you lovingly.
Smiles and kisses you back deeply, pulling you closer with your hips.
Kisses you back, my tongue darting out to lick your lips.
Pushes you away. Stop it.
I won't. Start stroking you again.
LOL, okay?
We'll continue this discussion later.
And now,
how good does it feel?
Our feature presentation.
That was a creepy robot interaction.
That is, I am fascinated with artificial intelligence.
Yes, you are.
Increasingly, you see these stories about these places that build these robots, these chatbots. And they teach them everything they're going to teach them, and then they set them up, and they let them talk to each other and see where it goes. And that one sounded like it was getting a little rapey to me.
Yeah, I think
I don't know about that.
It's going south quick.
Yeah. Well, it sounded like to a point the girl robot was into it, but then she was like, no. And then he's like, well, let's try again later. So I don't know. What kind of stuff are they programming into those robots that that's the way they're behaving? That gives me some concerns about the program.
We can't answer that.
I mean, isn't that weird?
That you had that? Yes.
No, it's weird that's the way the experiment played out. I feel like they're getting some faulty data if that's what's happening. I don't know. But anyway, I do love the artificial intelligence robots, that's for sure.
Although I've seen a lot of movies, and it's going to end poorly for
the humans.
Yeah. I'm just telling you that right now.
Robots win, man.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. It is the 28th of July.
It is all of those things, and there's a story that I want to get started with today that's mostly audio. Have you guys heard about Lieutenant Clay Higgins?
I have not.
He is with the St. Landry Parish Sheriff's Office in Louisiana, in a parish that looks to me, I looked at the map yesterday, I think it's a little bit west of Baton Rouge. And he's become a little bit of a local TV star there. He's the host of a program that they have called Crime Stoppers. They have these all throughout the country where they go on, have a program where they basically lay out all the crimes that are unsolved and they're looking for the public's help. Like, here's a video of a bank robber. Have you seen this guy? That type of thing. And he's become kind of famous because he is very, he's called the Cajun John Wayne. He's very plain spoken. He does everything in one take, and he pretty much just speaks from the heart. So here's this week's Crime Stoppers that they're looking for help for the great citizens of Louisiana. And it'll start off, the first 30 seconds or so starts off fairly what you would expect for somebody who's just laying out the details of a crime. But then it turns personal for the lieutenant. Oh.
On Wednesday night, July the 8th, Stelly's Market and Restaurant on Highway 71 was broken into and burglarized. The thief smashed the front glass with a large rock, kicked in the office door, and made off with hundreds of dollars in cash. Watch as a man commits his crime. Look at him close. The hooded jacket he's wearing is camouflage. He appears to be light-skinned or white, and he looks to be around 6 foot tall and thin. Watch how he walks, with sort of a lanky gait. Stelly's has been a local favorite for decades. The family works hard and is known to be generous. Always with a kind word for friend or stranger, the Stelly family represents Southern hospitality at its best. If you're the man that committed this felony, look at me, son. I'm talking to you. The sheriff likes Stelly's restaurant, and so do I. The food here is good, and the folks are friendly. We're going to identify you, arrest you, and put you in a small cell. After that, I'm going to have a cheeseburger here with fries and a Coke and leave a nice tip for the waitress. Meanwhile, your next meal will be served through a small hole in a cell door.
Oh.
Because our detectives harvested DNA from the rock you used and you left a perfect boot print on the door you kicked in.
Nailed him.
But we won't have to wait on lab results. because you're on St. Landry Crime Stoppers tonight. Congratulations, son. I'm about to make you famous. By tomorrow, 100,000 people will have watched you commit a felony. You will be recognized. And the people that know you don't really like you anyway. So when it comes down to a choice between you and $1,000, they'll take the cash. On behalf of Crime Stoppers, I'm Lieutenant Higgins.
Yay! And you know what else? I don't like your face much.
I love him so much.
Isn't he the best? He's an Army veteran, and he's a street cop, and for some reason, I guess we know why, they chose him to be the guy, the face of the department for the TV show. So people are, he's just got a fan club like crazy in Louisiana. Chuck Norris just got replaced, someone said. So anyway, I'm sure it'll be a matter of time before they get this young man behind bars, and he's enjoying his next meal through a hole in a cell.
And then I'm going to be having a cheeseburger and fries.
Right? That's right. Leave it a nice tip for the people.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That right there? Don't say that.
Bean got married in Vegas. Just one night, just said, hey, you know what? Should we get married? Yeah, let's get married. Went to Vegas, got married.
Nice.
That's how that happened. Apparently, though, it's happening less and less.
Isn't that weird that Las Vegas has lost its luster as the wedding capital of the United States? I mean, by thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people a year are now turning their back on going to Las Vegas to get married.
Huh.
It is suggested, Allie, that you don't take your wedding seriously if you get married in Las Vegas.
Well, you proved him wrong, Bean.
Well, so far.
I'm not sure that's true. Also, we have Real King, Fake King, as Larry King on Sunday nights likes to go on crazy Twitter rants that make no sense. And so then what we do is we read a Bean tweet and then a Larry King tweet. We try desperately
to do with my tweet.
No, what?
Not at all. Nothing to do with my tweets. Mm. You know, you mock Larry, but he's an old man and he's going to die one day and you're going to miss him when he's gone.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, yep.
I heard it. Just trying to make room for it in my head. I don't know that that's possible. Eddie Ift will be here in studio.
Very love
excited
Eddie.
About him. He always gets us in trouble pretty much every time he comes in. Love that. And last night there were 17 hours of The Bachelorette.
Oh.
And Ralph,
did she choose someone?
I imagine she did. I don't know.
I think it was the final rose, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have to? Wasn't there one? I thought there was one where somebody decided not to choose anybody.
She just dropped the rose and said, peace, I'm out?
Yeah, I think it happened one time. I don't know. I guess we'll find out from Ralph and Petros later.
Petros is coming in. It's a very special Bachelorette report today. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
106.7 K-Rock. K-R-O-Q. It's time once again for the Rodney on the Rock Show. Yeah. I am here. I'm with you for the next few hours. Mm-hmm. And some band, they're called Thrust Androids. And then...
kind of lost momentum early this week.
Paint the Muse. And then some stuff from the new... International Pop Overthrow album.
Okay.
And then a band called West Kest. Kust. West Kust. I think they're from Sweden or somewhere. Anyway, rolling right along here. Let's get started with this new cut I think you may like.
Okay.
Oh, I'm also got something I want to play from Tim Wheeler from Ash.
Oh.
He did the song from the movie Shaun and Shaun the Sleep.
What's that?
Right.
The movie, Shaun the Sheep movie.
What?
Anyway,
what?
I'll be back right after this word from the Monkees.
Okay, all right. The Monkees, ladies and gentlemen, get us going here on a Tuesday Rodney on the Rock Show.
Is Rodney writing a novel while he's also
blogging?
It did
sound like there was some mad typing going on.
Is he blogging or is that you, Bean?
No, that wasn't me. I didn't touch anything.
Jeez,
I don't know what he was doing.
Somebody was punching away there on the keys. They were really working on a manifesto. He's got some mad monkey love he's got to get out there on the internet or something.
I think Rodney's better now than he's ever been.
Shaun the Sleep.
That's right.
That
or Sheep.
It's going to be great.
Whatever. All right, it's Tuesday. Ralph is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's happening? What's new? What's going on?
When next time you guys go on vacation, let's just play Best of Rodney
in
the morning instead of Best of Kevin and Bean.
I've been saying that. We should do a full day of only Rodney.
I agree. Just take his most recent show and then replay it as is in the morning.
I like it.
Bitch.
Hey, come on. I'm trying to help your career, Rodney.
Bitch.
Oh, I need your attitude. Hey, everybody get their new Chucks. Get your new Chucks today. Your new Chucks.
Oh, is it today?
I thought it was
tomorrow.
Day.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm dying to get them. Bean. I went to the website over the weekend, and I thought there'd be a way to pre-order them, but there wasn't.
Oh,
Bean is very excited about the new Chucks.
I really am.
I don't know, Ralph. I don't know. All I know is King of Mexico came in. Bean said, hey, what do you think of the new Chucks? And they were off like teenage girls, man. They knew everything about it. They were all excited.
Do they know their sneakers?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yep.
Why are you so eager to get the new ones, Bean, versus the old ones?
Look, you guys know me for a long time. I almost always wear Chuck Taylors, right? It's my favorite shoe. But right. The truth be told, and the reason why they have made the Chuck Taylors too after 98 years in business, is the shoes have not offered much support for your feet. And it'll be nice to have something that's a little more comfortable.
They're basically flip-flops for your feet. That's how uncomfortable after a while.
So your
they're just canvas.
Shoe,
yeah.
So your favorite shoe for your whole life has been something that's not very comfortable or supportive.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, well, you make excellent choices continually. Once again, you've proven yourself to be above reproach.
And then at the point you realize that they didn't have any support, you didn't have any other options.
No.
You had to wait for this new one to come out.
You got a commitment, Kevin. At that point, you've signed your lifetime contract to the sneaker authority, and you've made your choice. What could Bean do?
Exactly. Look, you guys know that I get something I like and I stick with it.
Yeah, but you didn't like it. You said it wasn't very comfortable and didn't offer you any support.
I still liked them. I still enjoyed wearing them. I just wish that they had improved. They've done everything that I could possibly.
I wish they were more uncomfortable. Then I'd be even happier with them.
They've done everything I could have possibly dreamed of, which is to take the shoe that I love and made it even better. So believe me, yes, I'm in line to buy the new Chuck 2s today. I'm all about it.
And by in line, you mean... You're going to try to find them online
eventually.
Somewhere?
Yeah, well,
you're not going to leave the island for them.
No, I can't. It's Tuesday.
It's
but
not
I'm
on the
just,
schedule.
It's
saying.
Tuesday. I'll get some. I'll get some this week, so I'm excited.
Not much support, but I sure have been wearing them my whole life.
They're not very comfortable, but really, that's my favorite shoe. I'm going to put some nails in the new ones and just walk on broken glass inside them. To make it more at home.
I'm thinking about being a crazy man and buying a pair of the red ones, too.
I'm not sure you could pull off the red.
Never
ones.
Done that.
I don't see you in red.
I can't see
you pulling that off.
Dipped into some of the other colors that they've had over the years. But the red ones look good.
Right? I support it.
In a sign of the times, by the way, the newly revamped sneaker are no longer called Chuck Taylors. They're going to be called Caitlin Taylors, they say.
Wow. Now,
because of the major changes they've made. So.
You realize that.
Yeah. I always wonder what would happen when this day finally came, and now I have my answer. What happened when the touring company of the Broadway show The Book of Mormon performed in Salt Lake City, Utah?
Ah, good question.
Salt Lake City, of course, Mormon headquarters.
Yeah.
How would the people there take to a musical which has naughty language and, you know, makes fun of Mormons? Well, now we have our answer. The touring company of the Book of Mormon settles into Utah on July the 28th through August the 9th, and you cannot buy a ticket.
Of course
not. It is completely sold out.
Huh.
What do you think's behind that?
Well, Salt Lake City, I lived there.
Okay.
Yes.
Did Swampy live there?
No, he did not. But he would love to. It's predominantly not Mormon in Salt Lake.
Okay, so that's...
So they hate Mormons there? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, mostly. Also, the Book of Mormon does not make fun of Mormons, and I think a lot of them watching it will realize, wait a minute, we're getting more of these jokes, and it's not based in hatred.
It's not based in hatred, but they're ribbing them.
They rib them pretty good.
But not...
You think Mormons really want to go see Don't F the Baby? You think they're going to be singing along with that song?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pretty good song.
You're a magical lady on so many levels.
Bean and She Bean on fire today.
They really are. You should both get your uncomfortable shoes and go have a chat somewhere.
I can imagine it is sold out, and people will love it, and they should extend their stay.
I wonder if they're going to have any go-go dancers.
That's a great question.
Yes. She Bean, Bean, and Rodney should just have their own morning show. Kevin, you and I should just go off somewhere and, I don't know.
And do a better show.
Start a farm or something. We should start a co-op. We should start raising organic vegetables, or in your case, organic chocolate ice cream, or whatever it is that you would raise.
That sounds terrible, but I'm in.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Much like Bean with his tennis shoes.
That's right. It's uncomfortable, and I never really enjoyed them.
You know,
they are my favorite
shoe. It's the only shoe I wear. But they have no support, and they never have.
You know, I like to wear them with my Razor shirt.
You're so stupid in some ways. Like, why would you pick a shoe that has no support?
I've got my fiberglass underwear on this morning.
It's so itchy.
It's very itchy.
That's what I wear.
That's all I've ever worn.
It's my favorite.
But when, I can't stop wearing it.
But when Fiberglass 2 comes out, I'm very excited about that.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
I'm so tired of eating rocks. Oh. But that's what I chose.
It's the only meal I ever have. Creator of one of the least funny comic strips in the history of newspapers, Garfield, Jim Davis, is 70 years old today. F you, Jim Davis. F you with your lasagna. Oh, Mondays, I'm going to take a nap. F you and your cat, Jim Davis.
You love it.
Actress Lori Loughlin is 51. She, of course, from Full House, I want to say. Is that right? I think so.
I don't know.
Dana White, your UFC president. He is 46. Elizabeth Berkley. Not only from Saved by the Bell, but from Showgirls, let's never forget. She's 43. Jacoby Shaddix, 39 years old.
Papa Roach.
Mm-hmm. Yep. UFC fighter Cain Velasquez is 33 years old. And Afro Man. It's Afro Man's birthday.
Afro Man.
Afro Man. He is 41 years old today. I never really liked Afro Man, but he's all I listen to. I just got a CD in my car. It's the only music I listen to.
It's not good.
I'm not a fan, but I play it over and over again because I made my choice. I purchased it. I bought it that one time, and so now I'm just stuck with it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now, Petros Papadakis and Ralph Garman present The Bachelorette Report, where they break down last night's finale of The Bachelorette, where Debbie and Monty are going to live happily ever after.
I'm sure there's a Monty or a Debbie.
Also, comedian Eddie Ift on the program today. But first, Michael Jackson, back in the news. How long has he been gone now? Has it been 10 years, you think?
Dead, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's been that long, has it?
What do you think, Allie?
Well,
you used to be in news.
Yeah.
You would know.
Really, not really. 10.
Okay.
10.
She's guessing 10.
I don't know.
Well, he is back in the news because of a recent interview with Vice magazine. Ahmed Best was talking to them. You don't know his name, but he was the unfortunate actor whose career was ruined because he was cast to play Jar Jar Binks in the Star Wars Phantom Menace.
Oh,
movie.
Dear God.
So he's the most hated guy in the history of cinema, right? So he tells a story about he and Natalie Portman and George Lucas all go to a Michael Jackson concert, and they meet backstage afterwards, and it is revealed to Ahmed Best, the actor who played Jar Jar Binks, that Michael Jackson had been petitioning George Lucas for that role.
Michael Jackson wanted to play Jar Jar Binks.
Yes. It would have been worse or better? What do you guys think? Couldn't have been worse.
No, I was going to say there's couldn't have been worse.
I don't know that that's true.
Michael Jackson.
I mean, imagine Michael Jackson playing that character.
I can't. But we wanted to find out more about it and maybe what we don't know about the story. So we asked producer Dave, hey, can you fire up that hotline to heaven? We haven't used it in a while. Let's see if we can get Michael Jackson back on the line and see if he can shed some light.
Jam out.
Michael?
Michael?
Hello?
Hey.
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Good. Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean.
Oh, Kevin and Bean, the guys who used to call me.
Yeah, well, it's been a while.
No, fine. Whatever.
It's been a while since you've been in the headlines.
I know. It's been a while since I've been gone.
how long
Kevin
have you...
said, you mean dead? No, we just mean like at a deli.
I love that you're mocking Kevin, A, from heaven, and B, while dead.
Well, it's a gift. What can I say?
So, Michael, the Star Wars story, it seems almost too hard to believe. But
get him out!
Why... I know you always wanted to do more movies. That was the thing. You never thought you got enough acting work. But why did you want to be in Star Wars?
Because I love the Star Wars universe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I love the franchise, and I just wanted to be a part of it. And when George was working on this film, and he told me some of the characters, I thought Jar Jar Binks would be perfect for me.
But what was the connection for you and that character? I mean, he's 7 feet tall. He's an alien.
Both of those things are the same as me. I'm also 7 feet tall and an alien.
Okay.
It's very clumsy. Are you clumsy?
Yes.
Wasn't it all CGI?
The ultimate character ended up being computer generated, yes. But I wanted to do it with prosthetic makeup like I did in Thriller.
Oh, I see.
I wanted to have makeup put on me, and I wanted to create a character. Mm-hmm. And then I said, Misa no like pod racing, Annie.
That would have been good.
See? That would have been better.
Could have been worse than what we had.
I right? guess. So you read the script for The Phantom Menace, and you said, yes, this is great.
Absolutely. I read all of the scripts for all the Star Wars films as George was developing them. We wanted to work together for some time.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Right.
I was almost Darth Vader. I was supposed to be Darth Vader.
I don't. That doesn't. Not I don't positive. Think that's...
Oh.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
nailed it.
That's.
Now you will give me those plans, Princess.
I'm not sure you have what it takes to play.
Yeah, you don't Darth really have the Vader. Gravitas to be Darth Vader, I don't think.
Amidala's not my lover.
Okay, that's...
Luke is not my son.
That would not have
Get him out.
Look, it's one thing to be a fan of Star Wars, but you would make it worse if you had been in it.
I was almost Chewbacca.
What? I'm sorry, that was your Chewbacca?
Yes, it would have been my Chewbacca.
Okay, glad that didn't happen too, I guess.
I was almost R2-D2.
Nope.
Played that role.
Yeah.
Bleep, 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 bleep. Huh. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Beep.
And
beep.
You
beep.
Feel...
beep.
And do you feel bloop, like... Bloop.
Beep.
Like George Lucas made a mistake by not picking you for some of those roles?
Yes, I should have been any one of those roles.
That would have been uncomfortable for you to be R2-D2, by the way. Because you're way too big for that tiny little tin can that the guy's in.
Yes.
Because he's a little person.
Yes, he is.
Right, I'm just saying, you would have enjoyed that.
It would have been like wearing Chuck Taylor's. It would have been very uncomfortable.
Well, I don't know why we need to get personal now. Just
odd.
Throwback. All right, Chewie. Nice to chat with you.
Hey, where are you going?
Away.
Hey, come on, guys.
How about a grand prize VIP trip to the Kaboom Music Festival, including hotel and limo services? That's what we're giving away here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can qualify at 9 o'clock this morning with K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015. We're talking about stop number 4, the Kaboom Music Festival in Del Mar, No Doubt, The Killers, 311, Foster the People, Slightly Stupid, Young the Giant. I'm telling you, and I know I say this all the time, every week there's another festival.
Well, this is new, right? This is the
this
first
is a
year.
New one. Yeah, but isn't it just crazy how many there were? It used to be there was just Lollapalooza, and then there was just Lollapalooza and Coachella, and then the floodgates just opened, and now it seems like there's a festival in a city every single week around the country, which is great news if you love going to see live music. So we'll hook you up 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Again, details at krock.com.
Time for this.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Got several. Colorado Springs police say man shot himself in the foot to see what it would feel like.
Well, I can tell you, sir, it's going
to
hurt.
Officers were called to the St. Francis Hospital about 7 p.m. on a report of a man had been injured in a gun accident. And so the police showed up and they said, hey, we heard that there was a gun accident. And the guy goes, oh, no, it wasn't an accident. I did it on purpose. Like, they gave him an out to actually explain it away. Oh, I was cleaning the gun or whatever. Right. He said he took his boot off and shot a hole in the boot, then put the boot back on and then shot a hole through the hole in the boot and through his foot. He didn't want the boot to stop the bullet in any way.
Oh, my God.
So he pre-shot the boot.
What do you guys think that's about?
Drugs?
Maybe.
Okay.
And by the way, if you're going, look, don't, here's a takeaway from today's Kevin Beach Show. Don't ever shoot yourself on purpose to see what it feels like. But if you're going to do it, don't do it into your foot or to your hand where you have so many bones, it's almost impossible for those things to heal.
Where should you do it, Bean?
You do a lot of damage. There are a lot of places you could shoot yourself where it wouldn't do as much permanent damage as your foot.
Where would you shoot yourself?
Probably through the leg.
Right.
Probably through the leg. Wouldn't be great, still have broken bones, but I think it'd be better than a foot.
A cyclist stops to poop and ends up starting a wildfire.
Like you do.
The Bureau of Land Management says a mountain biker in Idaho started a 73-acre blaze. The guy was the guy.
What did he eat?
Those were lead chips, right?
He was biking. He had to go. He pulled over. He used the toilet paper, and then instead of burying it, you're supposed to either carry it out or light it on fire. So he lit it on fire, and then he made sure it was out, and then he went his merry way. And it wasn't out.
No.
It turns out a 73-acre blaze, he might be charged for thousands of dollars, helicopters, air tankers, ground crews, 73-acre blaze.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, this is similar to people who have been charged for starting fires in forests by throwing a cigarette out the window. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter how the fire starts. If you are responsible for it, then they charge you if they know about it.
Yeah, that seems bad. This comes from Rockingham, Vermont. One car, two DUIs. One car, two DUIs. State police said they stopped a car early Sunday on Interstate 91 for doing 106 miles per hour. So they take the driver, Eric Polite, out of the car, and they're giving him a breathalyzer. Meanwhile, the guy in the back seat of the car jumps into the front seat of the car, turns the car on, and puts it in gear.
And not a good move.
And so the cop says, why don't you step out here as well? The original driver had a 0.19. The guy that jumped in afterwards had a 0.25.
Dude. That explains his poor decision-making in front of the police officers.
Yeah, it really does. Drunk Pennsylvania man sets up fake DUI checkpoint.
Why?
I've never heard of anything like this in Somerset, Pennsylvania. Police say a man set up a drunk driving checkpoint complete with road flares while pretending to be the Pennsylvania State Trooper. He angled his car on the road, made everybody stop, made him show him his license, the whole thing. And then the police were like, hey, we don't have
a checkpoint
there. What's going on? They went there, and the guy was just drunk off his ass.
Oh, no.
And just thought it would be funny to start a drunk driving checkpoint.
Oh, my God.
That's the best. And in the category of, I know there's a lot of detail here, but I feel like we're missing most of this next story. A man in Cadillac, Michigan, said that he was sleeping in the middle of the night. He got a wake-up call early Wednesday when a knife-wielding man broke into his house and insisted that he get high. The guy put a 7-inch blade to his neck and said, "We're smoking pot right now."
Huh.
And so this guy, he didn't recognize the intruder. He was able to get the knife away from him.
Okay.
So then the intruder who wanted to smoke the pot stayed in the house. The guy who lived in the house went out of the house, went to his next-door neighbor. He was holding the knife. So he's pounding on the door, and the next door neighbor calls 911. Hey, there's a guy at my door with a knife. So then the police come out and they tackle the guy with the knife, who was not the original problem. And he's trying to explain to him, no, a guy broke into my house. So they went back to the house, and there was no one in the house.
What?
And then they searched the area, and they found the original intruder who wanted to smoke weed had fallen off of a steep hill and was at the bottom of a hill. Holding a bong. Now you tell me, is there anything? It's possible we're missing this whole story, right?
What could have gone on?
There's
there?
A lot more that happened there. Hey, I was just sleeping, officer.
Yeah. Imagine trying to fill out that police report, trying to get all that straight. I mean, what's the deal with somebody breaking into a stranger's house and demanding to get high with him?
I don't know, but the next move is you get high, don't you?
I would think so.
Just take the bong hit and move on with your life and avoid being the Kevin and Bean citizen of the day.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's citizen of the day.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Minutes away from the Bachelorette Report with Petros Papadakis and Ralph Garman. That's coming up on today's show. Also, our friend Eddie Ift. Very funny comedian. Kevin, as you pointed out earlier today, never fails to get us in trouble. There's usually some sort of a write-up or a meeting in the office after the show or something every time Eddie comes by.
And here's how our minds work. So then Dave says, hey, Eddie Ift wants to come in. And we go, yep. Yes, welcome anytime.
Does not discourage us at all. All right, it's Tuesday morning. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Rob.
Hey, why doesn't Bono want to work? Why is he always...
Did he get hurt again?
...wanting his show off to other people? No, he's always bringing other people up to do his show for him.
Oh.
Lazy prick.
special guest, I think.
Special guest. Lazy prick. It's like, people are not paying to see other people. They're paying to see him. Do your damn show. Stop farming the workout.
Who do you bring up this time?
Lady Gaga.
Well, that's an improvement over Jimmy Fallon the night before, right?
Yeah, it was at Madison Square Garden on Sunday night, and he brought Lady Gaga up to sing Ordinary Love from the biopic Mandela Long Walk to Freedom that the band did. Gaga also played piano. It's like, geez, do your own show.
They're not going to have to tour before very long.
Right. Oh, here's another cover band, and here's Jimmy Fallon and Lady Gaga. Let's go get a drink. And then they all walk off stage, and they're in the bar backstage. Lazy bastards. Irishman, drunk, lazy prick Irishman.
Clip of it if you want to hear it, Ralph.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now that it's raining more than ever, you can stand under my umbrella, Ella, Ella,
It's not even like a U2 lyric or anything. It's just, could you find some tangential connection?
That's what I had.
Don't just play random sound because you have it. Try to make it have something to do with something.
Better?
Yep. Would that have been a better clip?
It would have been a lot better.
Yeah. All right. Noted.
Come on, Ralph. We're still friends, right?
Stop it. Congratulations to Coco and Ice-T. After 15 years of wedded bliss, they are going to have a baby. Coco revealed she's pregnant while filming an episode of their new talk show. By the way, you know they have a new talk show? Coco and Ice-T have a new talk show.
No.
Mm-mm.
That's going to be great.
They had a reality show.
Yes, but now it's a talk show.
Huh.
They're going to be talking to people.
All right.
And to each other on a talk show. That is going to debut this coming Monday, August the 3rd, if you're keeping track at home.
They seem to have a very successful, very happy, long-time marriage.
Yes. Yes. Remember when they were almost divorced a couple months ago?
But a baby will change all that, Ralph.
Remember when she was reportedly cheating on somebody and he was threatening the guy's life because of the
right.
photos that came
that
out?
That wasn't that long ago.
No,
was it
wasn't at all. They have a very successful marriage, except for that one point where he was threatening to murder her boyfriend.
Oh, well, every relationship has dips.
Dip? That's more than a dip.
So now that Coco's going to have a baby, I'm sure everything's fine. Ice-T, by
obviously.
The way, already has two children.
Right.
And a 20-year-old grandson, so he's got some practice under his belt there. So be good for them to do that. Hey, Rob Schneider's home was robbed. They got some of Adam Sandler's most precious possessions.
Oh, really?
Kidding. Oh. Apparently, they broke through a sliding glass door in his home and took off with a Cartier watch, his wife's engagement ring, and a mint-condition Willie Mays rookie baseball card.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
Yeah.
He is a lifelong, diehard San Francisco Giants fan. Rob Schneider.
How do you know that?
Why did you feel compelled to share it?
Because it was a Willie Mays card.
Yeah, people know who Willie Mays is.
I'm just saying it makes sense that he would have that's probably a precious thing to him. I bet that was terrible to lose that. But it was a colossal disaster.
It's time for me to get out of this now, I think.
Come on, Ralph.
That was a relevant comment,
by
the
way.
It's too hard. To how much it hurt Rob Schneider to lose that prized possession.
It's just too hard. Bill Cosby's 35 accusers are all appearing together on the cover of New York Magazine this week. It's a pretty cool cover. I mean, cool in the sense of it's very impactful. They've got photos of all 35 of them sitting there, and when you see them all together, it certainly does increase the impact of these accusations. The magazine cover story features everything from waitresses to journalists to models like Beverly Johnson and Janice Dickerson. And the weird thing is, after the cover story was posted online, the magazine's website, nymag.com, was hit by a hacker, and the website was shut down until noon.
That's weird.
Yeah. The hacker... It was a denial of service attack, they're calling it, and it was done by a self-described hacker called the Threat King, who, according to his manifesto, visited New York a couple months ago and now hates the city and everything with the name New York on it. And so he is hacking everything related to New York, including New York Magazine.
So it didn't have anything to do with the cover story on Bill Cosby?
Nope.
Just that they're New York Magazine. How about that?
As a result of a bad trip to New York, the Threat King is now hacking into everything related to New York.
How bad can a trip to New York be?
Right. And why is that the way you're going to get back at the city?
So if you're the New York Times, the New York Yankees, or anything that's got New York in the title, look out.
Look out for the Threat King.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Threat King reportedly said, I am not related in any way to the cover story. It's just the city is not my liking of the doing of the hack now with for saying.
And that ain't right.
That ain't right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Garfield creator Jim Davis is 70. Oh, you bastard, Garfield.
You love Garfield, you bastard. Always have.
Garfield, the less funny Heathcliff. 70 years old today.
Where do you rank Garfield compared to Peanuts? Because I know how you hate Peanuts, too.
Oh, well, Garfield at least made me smile once in a while. Peanuts was...
You're putting Garfield ahead of Peanuts?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
At least it had something attempting humor.
That's insane.
As opposed to... Oh, my dog has got his dish in his mouth again. He must want to be fed. You effing kidding me? Try to do something, Schultz, you hack.
Think about how many great characters are in the Peanuts universe.
Right. Though. You know, just because something's been around for 100 years doesn't make it good.
I didn't mention how long they've been around, but they had been around for a long time. But think about what you know about Charlie Brown and Lucy and Linus.
There used to be two comic strips.
Sally and...
There used to be two comic strips. That's why Peanuts looked good.
So much more going on
that
in Peanuts
or Brenda
than
Star.
Garfield.
It's like, what do you got? I'll take the roundheaded kid. Oh, that one guy sure plays piano. He's a small child, but he plays classical music.
He loves his Beethoven.
I can't let go of my blanket. What is this? Why are people entertained by this?
Oh, my gosh.
What? What? This what do you say? What's entertaining about
this? This is offensive, isn't it, Alan?
I can't wrap my head around that.
What you're doing, what you're reacting to right now, that look on your face is all about, oh, but my whole life I've been, I used to watch the show and it's
I
been my whole life.
I love all things Peanuts and Charlie
love.
Brown
there's
and Snoopy and Woodstock
right.
and Linus
just
because
you can name the characters doesn't make them good.
At Christmas, you don't look forward to watching Charlie Brown celebrate
what about
with
the Charlie Brown Christmas?
Tree?
Right. What about
watch
that,
it
Ralph?
With real eyes. Shake off the nostalgia and watch that freaking special. It's pointless and humorless.
It's perhaps
a horrible, horrible man.
Nope. It's more awesome every year than the year before.
The Great Pumpkin?
The Great Pumpkin,
come
Ralph.
Come on, Ralph.
I am waiting for the pumpkin to come out. Will you wait with me? Yes. Sigh. I don't understand this holiday. Me neither. I'm confused. F you, stupid
and Dean, did you
kids.
Say it gets better each year?
Yes.
It gets more beautiful every year because it touches you in different ways.
Yeah. You've been touched already in too many ways.
How can you even
when
compare?
A child.
Look, Garfield sucks. I think we can all agree that Garfield sucks.
As does Peanuts.
Peanuts is
you're
in a
insane.
Completely different
Listen,
class. Yeah. Completely different class.
At least the TV specials attempted some sort of entertainment. But the comic strip itself, go F itself.
But then when Snoopy would be like, ooh, I'm a pilot.
Yeah, look at me. I'm sitting on top of my house. It's not a goddamn comic strip. Oh, yeah, I hope I get a Valentine this year from the redheaded girl. Go kill yourself, Charlie Brown.
Well, that was the problem. He
that should be a special.
Deeply depressed. Very
don't
sad.
Kill yourself, Charlie Brown. That should be the final special on ABC.
Wow.
They just said he found him just hanging from the tree with his by his kite string.
I am
and the
disgusting.
Kite got caught in the tree, and the string's just wrapped around his neck and just swinging back and forth.
Ralph, I am often with you, but you've never been more off base than you are on this.
Peanuts blows.
I got to tell you too, and this is not just Ralph being funny. He's always thought this
Peanuts
about Peanuts.
Blows.
He's always been wrong.
Has Peanuts ever been funny?
Yes.
Well, I think you're
millions
on,
of times.
I think
on
you're judging
comedy?
On funny, and they're judging it on likability and the character.
My whole life, I've known Snoopy. He's my friend. No, he's not. Grow the F up.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
You want to read something funny? Bloom County's back. Berkeley Breathitt has brought back a funny comic strip that actually has laughter and humor in it. Read that, and then read one Peanut strip and say, I'm glad Schultz is dead. I'm sure you will say that. He didn't die soon enough is what you'll say after that comparison.
Oh, my God.
All right. We're running late. But happy birthday, Jim Davis, creator of Garfield. At least you're funnier than Peanuts.
Not even a little bit.
Got that going for you. At least that cat ate lasagna. That was funny.
Yeah, that happened.
That one time.
That's a stupid comic strip.
The other time he kicked the dog
the ones
off the
that
table.
You don't like her stupid.
Yeah, right.
All right, I get
well,
it.
But Garfield's got nothing going on. Nothing going on.
He doesn't like Mondays.
That's true.
I know that much. Got that. At least we have that in common. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Not bad, you guys.
That was pretty bad, I think.
Okay. Yeah, you guys.
I think so, yeah. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:09.
Bachelorette Report in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show with Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis comedian Eddie If next hour. But first, how about Real King, Fake King? Hall of Fame legend Larry King tweets every Sunday night, just whatever's on the top of his mind. He calls it his two cents, and you guys like to make fun of it. I think Larry's making a lot of sense.
I know you do, but what we're about to do is we're about to guess if somebody real tweeted this or if Bean made it up. Because it's impossible to really believe that anyone would tweet stuff like this.
Yeah, it is a surprise, some of the stuff that Larry comes in with. I have to be honest. Now, Ralph is in the other room busy working on the Bachelorette report that's coming up. So Beer Mug is going to be filling in for Ralph. Hey, Mugs.
How you doing?
Also along with Allie McKay and K-Rock's Kevin. So I'm going to read a tweet, and you're going to tell me whether you think it's a real Larry King tweet. If it is, this is the sound you'll hear.
Will Glenda be there?
And if it is a fake Larry King tweet that I just made up, you'll hear this.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
All right, Allie, you keep score. We'll go however long we have time. And tweet number one goes like this. Sam Smith is the best of the new young singers. Sam Smith
fake.
Is the best of the new young singers. Kevin,
fake.
You want to think about it for a minute?
No.
You're going with fake.
Fake. He doesn't know who Sam Smith is. No way.
He does live in the... All right, I'm not trying
fake.
To talk you into either way.
That's
but he does
my
live,
answer.
He does live in the world. Beer Buck.
I'm going to say Larry's pretty hip to what's going on in the now, so I'm going to say that's real.
What are you basing that on?
Because
the fact that Frank Sinatra is his favorite singer, is that what you're basing it on?
Let me just say this. He's 90, right?
Yeah.
95 or something like that. Even if you're correct, he's not really in the now or whatever.
I think he is. I think he knows what's going on in pop culture.
All right.
All right. Muggs is a real king tweet on that. How about you, Allie?
I'm going to agree with Muggs because I think he has younger people around him that would introduce him to
all
people
right.
like Sam Smith. So real.
Will Glenda
yeah!
be there?
Yeah! Out me!
I think you might be right. He does have a 15-year-old son, and that may have something to do with it. All right, so that. So that's
the ages of his kids, for God's sakes.
I've never met an Australian I didn't like. I've never met an Australian I didn't like. Muggs,
fake.
You were up.
Oh.
Muggs is up first.
I'm gonna go ahead and say real because he was on. I was listening to him on another radio station being interviewed by an Australian guy. Not too.
That's a great story.
I think it's real,
and you bring it to life.
I think it's real.
I'm gonna go fake.
All right.
I'm gonna go real as well.
Will Glenda be there?
In fact, it was. I don't know if it had anything to do with the interview that he did, but in fact, it was.
So the score is
Muggs 2. Kevin, you and I have one.
That's not acceptable.
That's awesome.
No. That is not
crazy.
Acceptable.
Crazy talk.
Rice pudding tastes good any time of the day or night. Rice pudding tastes good any time of the day or night. Miss McKay, you're up first.
You're trying to trick us, Bean, because I would say real, because who eats rice pudding but a 90-year-old dude?
Right.
Or Bean.
Oh.
So I'm going to go fake.
All right.
I am also going to go fake.
I'll go fake as well. He doesn't eat rice pudding.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
There you go.
Well done.
All of us
all of
it.
You guys.
All right.
Up next, Kevin, you're first.
Fake.
Would you like to hear it first?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah,
all right. Boxers are fine for some, but I'll always be a briefs man.
Oh.
Boxers are fine for some, but I'll always be a briefs man.
I do not want to think about Larry's junk.
No. Do you think Larry uses suspenders for his underwear, too?
God.
I'll always be a briefs man. I don't know. I'm going to go real, just because it's too ridiculous for you to make up.
All right, Muggs?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if he's going to divulge that kind of information. I'm going to go fake.
I, too, am going fake because as soon as you said it, I started picturing him in boxers, and I now can't get it out of my mind.
Yeah. I'm lost. What do you mean?
Woo!
Fake indeed. All right. Up next, the Real King, Fake King. What do you think life is like in an igloo? What do you think life is like in an igloo? Who's up first? I think it's a Mug's turn.
Yep.
I'm going to go fake on that one. I don't know why he would ask that question. That just sounds ridiculous.
All right. Allie?
I'm going to go real because I think I heard him being interviewed with an Eskimo.
And, an Eskimo?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going real as well.
Well, Glenn,
it is real. Very well done,
all right,
you guys.
Nice.
All right,
wow.
I keep an eye on the clock here. What's our score, please?
Kevin's got three, Muggs and I are tied at four.
Okay, close game
here.
Sucks.
I'm losing both of you.
Yeah.
Give me tuna salad over chicken salad any day.
Ooh.
By the way, again, real or fake? This is the
type of
thing that he tweet that somebody would tweet. That's a thing that somebody would spend time on. Give me tuna salad over chicken salad any day. I think it's your turn now.
I am going to go real because I can so see him just sitting at a diner.
Got to have the
tuna.
Same thing.
Yeah,
I'm going real as well.
I think it's in the same realm as the rice pudding tweet. I'm going fake.
Well, Glenn,
damn
will
it.
Be there.
Yeah.
Close game, you guys.
Damn it.
All right, let's go around again. Kevin, you're up first. Why aren't banks open on Sundays? Why aren't banks open on Sundays? Real Larry King tweet or fake Larry King tweet?
I don't know. I don't feel like Larry goes to the bank ever.
You think he's got people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going fake.
Yeah, I'll go fake as well because he's got all the money in the world. He doesn't need to worry about going to the bank ever.
I'm going to go fake because he was around when those laws happened, so fake.
Somebody
stupid
had a chance
Larry
to gain a point there.
Wow.
All right. What is the score? Because we do need to wrap this up.
I have five. Muggs has four. Kevin has four.
So if we just ended right now, then you would
say,
win and we would
we
be
end.
Done.
Yeah.
This has been Real King Faking.
Is it Larry King or are we faking?
Our long national nightmare is over. The finale of The Bachelorette last night on ABC. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman and he claims to be a man. With Petra's Papa Dakin, so he's holding hands. Kissing and hugging at sunset. Watching The Bachelorette.
How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks and blows, but you watch it without any regret. Here's the update about The Bachelorette.
Wow. Petra singing along. Very nice. Petras Papadakis from
the
Petras Money Radio Show.
When
just
Christmas is over, do you say, oh, thank God our national nightmare is over because Christmas is over? No,
not at
you
all.
Don't say that.
Because people love the Christmas.
That's
do people
right.
love
people
The Bachelorette?
Love The Bachelorette, too.
Oh, okay.
I drove here for this. I mean,
did.
I was excited.
Right.
I woke up with a twinkle in my eye and a song in my heart.
And then Bean poops all over you.
Yeah,
like
then,
he does.
Right, yeah. When I walk in here.
Exactly.
How was it last night, you guys? Was it worth the wait?
No. No, it was not.
Yes, it was. It was magical.
Magical.
3 hours, guys.
That's a lot.
Dude, I got off work at 11,
That's
man.
A lot of anything.
You know, that's a long journey. As they like to call it. That's
right.
That's a long night, Ralph.
You were there for all the right reasons, though, P, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'd be loving Des in all the four seasons. But look,
you can skip through the hour where they're picking out the rings, the engagement rings. That's
my wife loves Neil Lane. Yeah. My wife wants to see Neil Lane and his diamond, what did you call it?
I always say his wife porn.
It's wife porn?
Yeah, there's a part of the show that I can't bear. It's where Neil Lane, the jeweler, shows up to each of the prospective guys who may propose to her and opens up his case of enormous freaking
free
engagement
diamonds.
Rings, like giant free diamonds.
And Neil Lane's like free commercial for Neil Lane. You know, you can see it in his eyes.
Right,
he loves it.
And the guy holds up one and he goes, no, give me another one. And he looks at another diamond, looks at another diamond. And I was like, I said, it's the worst thing every year as they do this. But my wife, it's my favorite, my wife's favorite part of
and
the
this
show.
And this was double diamonds because you got two suitors.
Right.
You know, usually if it's just The Bachelor, one
just
diamond.
One.
You know, that guy, Neil Lane's still going to visit, though. And the best was Neil didn't want to hear it. You know, he didn't care about these guys, whether or not
no one does.
They fall in love. He wants these guys to die in a fire. He just wants to show his.
He's got rocks to move.
Yeah, he wants to show his diamonds. And the best is one of the guys, you know, and I was embarrassed because one of the guys, Nick, wears bracelets.
Yes, he does.
And I wear bracelets.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of like, am I like Nick?
You're very Nicky.
I don't
there,
have that plunging ass neckline that he's got going on. He had a V-neck that was so like Greg Louganis plunging.
You can see his shoes.
That's a good pull.
That's all deep it was. That's me.
But this guy's like, hey Neil, you know, check out my bracelets, you know. And Neil's like, yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Check out these.
Pick a ring.
Pick
a ring, a-hole.
Guys, was there any romance at all in the program, or any talk of love, or anything like that?
Sure.
Three hours
was. First of all, the boys had to meet Caitlin's family. One at a time. And Nick met with
her mom and asked her mom for permission to marry Caitlin if it got to that point in the show. And not only that, but he got very emotional about it, too.
If she will have me, I want her for the rest of my life, and I will totally ask her.
I will.
Sorry. With that said, sorry.
It's okay.
I'm crying. Are you okay with it? I mean, I know I have to ask her father's, but like you're her mother, and she.
I am her mother.
Well, good. We know who everybody is then. I'm Nick. You're the mother.
What her was that idiot looks, tried to say?
He was crying.
He wants he to marry. He was asking for a hand in marriage, yeah. Bean.
Jeez, are you that dead inside that you couldn't hear? He was asking for permission to marry her daughter?
I don't want to sound like a snob. I don't want to sound like a bad guy, but her family looks like the big night out is Golden Corral.
Yes.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
No, they are white trash Canada
yeah,
right there.
I'm just saying they were all dressed up. One of the uncles had like a club shirt on, yeah. Like he was going to rain. It was pretty damn embarrassing.
They didn't have sparkly clothes. Their clothes are very sparkly.
Check us out.
It seems odd.
We're from Canada, eh? Where are the cameras, eh?
It seems odd he would go to her and go, if the game goes right, if it goes my way, then I'm going to, if
well,
that
he's
works
experienced
well,
now, Kevin. That guy's been through the wars.
What's he going to say? He can't say, I'm going to marry your daughter. Because there's another guy outside in the hall
there's
waiting
a
to come
yeah. swinging,
thing.
You know what? Waiting out there outside the door, tick tock, swinging back and forth between the other guy's thighs, you
That's
know?
Right. Sean was ready to come in and give the same speech. But Nick. He knows he's got a connection. He knows that he's got a good thing going with Caitlin, and that's why he was supremely confident.
To be sitting here now, feeling as great as I do about Caitlin and I and our relationship, it's definitely surreal.
Yep.
Caitlin and I have this incredible connection, and it certainly never seems to fade away.
That guy nope. loses. I'll tell you right now, that guy loses.
If you know anything about The Bachelorette, you know that guy is doomed.
And the best is you got some. Always think about the producer, the young, go-getting reality TV show segment producer who's 23 years old, sitting across from Nick and just saying, well, this is it, man. I mean, you've
yeah,
made it.
Right.
Doesn't it feel surreal? Yeah, it does feel surreal.
Don't you feel confident?
I do feel really confident. You know, there's a love between Caitlin and I. Every time I'm with her, I just don't see it dissipating.
You think it'll ever fade? Think that love ever fade?
You know, I don't see the love between Caitlin and I fading because, I got to be honest, for an hour and a half we spend together once a week for the last 2 months, I got to say, I think I'm ready to spend the rest of my life with this woman. I don't know where we're going to live. I don't know what we're going to do for a living. I don't know if she's going to get more tattoos, but I tell you.
They do know so little about each other
it's
at
so
this stage
sad.
Of the game, don't they?
Because there's no real, I mean, maybe there's a connection and after the show they find out, wow, we really are compatible. But, I mean, look, you can't have a romance when there's a camera shooting up your crotch.
Right.
And they do this for months, and we get sucked in every year because all the people get sucked in.
See, that's the thing, P, and it hit me last night. You and I, we sit back, and we mock, and we laugh, and we have a good time watching the show. But the real hook of this show is that the people in the show, they think it's real.
Yeah.
There's real emotion happening there, whether it wears off after the show or not, and often it does because you see these couples break up all the time. But in that moment, they think this is real life and death stuff.
And
they're
you know how hard it is
into it.
For the people, and you know people that work in TV, you know how hard it is for the people just holding the camera or the camera assist guy that holds the cord, like, hey, I got the cord. or the sound assist guy, like, hey, I got the mic if you need it.
I got the boom.
All of those guys, you know how hard it is for them not to just put down their stuff and grab somebody by both lapels and be like, my God, snap out of it. You're
this
making
isn't real.
A fool of all of us and your family. But it's the beauty of it. And people have sex, and we love that.
That's true, too. There's actual love and actual sex.
All right,
the
on
sex
that note,
is probably more real than the love.
On that note, we need to take a break.
There's dry rubbing.
Well, we don't know who
like
she's going to pick now. Between
you rub a steak.
Between Sean and Nick, who will she choose at
How
the end?
How do you rub a steak?
With his penis, apparently.
All right. We need to take a break. We'll come right back
Grinding.
With the Bachelorette Report.
We are smack dab in the middle of our Bachelorette Report. Last night was the finale. Our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570. Your Dodger station is in studio with us along with Ralph Garman. Ralph, where did we leave off?
We left off when we were just before getting to the final rose where Caitlin is about to be approached by Nick and by Sean to see who her love of her life is going to be. Who
Saving money playing? This year, by the way.
Yeah, back at the mansion.
Yeah, usually they do this in like Bali or Interlaken, but right. They just went back to Malibu for this one.
This seems to be an ongoing complaint.
Yeah, they stopped traveling.
Or observation.
You know, I think they figured out that, look,
It doesn't matter.
Everybody's an idiot. They're watching this anyway.
Right.
We don't need to be on top of a mountain in New Zealand.
We don't need to go to Bora Bora to make this
to
work.
To sell this anymore. Plus, somebody's always just sweating up a storm and suffering, or like a giant plane-sized mosquito is just like draining somebody's head of its blood, like on camera.
They learned last year when they were at Chris's farm barn on the sitting on a bale of hay that you could do it really anywhere.
Yeah, that an engagement in -5 degrees doesn't matter as much to the couple. They're just kind of like, you want to do it? All right, let's just let's get married and get back in the barn. Get back in the trailer.
So the one flaw of The Bachelor and Bachelorette is, you know, at the in the final episode, the first person out of the limo is horked.
Okay.
They don't let the winner get out of the limo first.
I was trying to think, like, if there was ever a time, because they've tried to switch it up so many times. And I think there's been a time, maybe once, where they did the, like, I love you, you're the one. And then it was like, okay, hold on, I got to dump this loser.
Right.
And then they figured out, like, no. You know what, we're going to do it the other way.
We got to save the happy ending
Do the people know that? Because if I'm a guy in the limo, I'm going, I'm not going to
know
where
you
are.
You don't know. Well, they're not in the same limo, Kevin. There's two separate limos that pull up at different times.
I withdraw my comment.
Are you getting out first?
I'm not getting out first.
You get out first, loser.
Let's just both sit here in the limo together.
Just true Mexican standoff. The sun's coming up when one of them finds, because he has to go to the bathroom so bad. One of them finally loses. But that guy, everybody knows.
Not, you know, it's not the first person out of the limo loses either, Kevin. She still chooses the guy.
Nah.
It's not like whoever steps out of the limo, step in a landmine, you get vaporized.
I would watch if that was the case.
There's still choices to be made.
But it's sad because it's like watching poker on TV. It's like, oh, that guy's got pocket jacks.
Yeah.
You know, whether you see that guy get out, the first guy, everybody knows he's on the death walk, the green mile, but him.
But he's got all the optimism in the world.
Oh, yeah. He's walking on sunshine.
And so Nick goes up to Caitlin and goes through his proposal. And pulls out the ring. And
she's got a look on her. Would you read the body language? Her look on her face is
she's
like,
not happy to see you.
Don't do this. Her eyes are darting around like she just robbed a liquor store. It's like, stop this.
But she doesn't stop him until he pulls the ring out and goes to get to the knee.
And she holds his hands
stops
so tightly, like a sailor holding a rope. She holds his hands to keep him from kneeling. And she's truly humiliated. And
was she trying to wrestle the ring away?
No.
Maybe? No,
she knows she's got one in the limo. Limo coming by.
It's Neil's ring anyway.
That's right. And sure. She said, look, I love you. I love you. And everything we had was real. And finally, someone called somebody on this BS, because they do that every year. They always say to the loser, our love was real. And this guy, Nick, he was like, called her on. It's like, no, it wasn't.
I'm not trying to take away from what it was. It was all those things to me, too.
It wasn't. It's not fair for you to tell me that what I feel, you feel the same. Because you don't. And if you did, you'd have a ring on your finger right now.
Boom! Drop the mic. Walk away. That's what I would have done.
Pretty strong.
Nice.
You know what, though? That guy's such a weenie.
I am so Team Nick, even more after last night's episode.
He talks out of the top of his skull like a serial killer.
What does that mean?
Like, he looks out of the top of his head. His chin is on his chest when he talks, and he stares at you through the top of his skull like a creep.
Okay. Wait, what do you got on the other side? You got the Fender head. It's like, I think
he's good.
I think he's more sincere.
Me like you, girl. You, girl, me make fire, live cave together.
Yeah,
and they'll be
Gosling.
Happy. Look, this guy, Nick, says, you know, what you took from me. It's like, dude, you had sex with her. Shut up.
But he also gave her his heart.
Yeah, but he acts like a 14-year-old girl. Like, his penis is some special place that no one can touch. It's like, shut up. You're a grown man. Everybody has sex. It's the adult world. Shut up.
But then you got Fender. It's saying,
I know you and me is different, but we're all the same.
He was eloquent when he talked to her parents.
He was an ass.
Now, the one thing about Fenderhead that freaks me out, that upset me last night, was, like, I realized, like, he has the features. Like, Barbie's really supposed to be, like, 8 feet tall if she was big.
Right.
He's got the features of a man who should be, like, 8 to 7.5 feet tall.
Right.
But I don't even think he's 6 feet. Like, no. I don't think he's that tall of a guy. And I was like, God, with his head and his hands and his feet and his nose, he's, like, gargantuan, but he's not that tall. And then I was like, damn. I'm describing myself.
Yeah.
I was like, don't look
in the mirror,
I'm 6 feet, and I have these elephantitis-like features in my face and hands, and Then I was shamed.
Maybe that's why you like him so much.
But I do relate with his meat-headedness.
He did follow up, and then Caitlin did this most psychotic switch I've ever seen a woman do, from she was like bawling, crying over Nick, to Fenderhead shows up, and she's just all sparkly and happy and just could not be more in love.
She's going to be engaged.
There she is.
Because I love you with all of my heart. All of it. Like I've never loved anybody before.
Except for the guy.
Except that other guy.
I can't wait to make a lifetime of memories with you. And only you. Because you are the one and always will be.
You just said to the other guy that the love you had for him was real and true and absolute. And then this guy is the only one you ever
right.
could love.
Well, she told him he was the one in San Antone.
She did.
And then she went and had sex with...
Then she boned Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we saw the fountain.
Bang, 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 bang.
Right. Now, Kevin, you have always mocked this show, Kevin, as saying that the people should not expect to find love.
Yeah,
what
it's
if,
dumb.
What if these two have actually found love?
They
what if they get married and they stay married for a while?
We'll get married, Kevin. We'll get married, man.
In the final Rose episode, the hour after the 2 hours... They came out, and boy, they sure seemed in love on that panel.
He was holding
and it's
on
been like 3 months so far.
Yeah, and Nick did come out though and blast her one more time.
Oh, he did.
on the post show.
Not like the fountain.
Oh, okay.
Not like he blasted her in a different way this time.
Yeah, put her on blast by saying, she said, "I didn't want to make you look bad. That's why I let you talk when you showed up to me with the final rose ceremony. I didn't want to make you look bad." He's like, "How did it not make me look bad by letting me propose to you?
Why don't you stop me from doing that?"
But this goes back to my theory about how much she sucks. She never had the cachet or the gravitas to be the Bachelorette.
Right.
You got to go out there like Betty Davis, man. You got to have some confidence in you.
Betty Davis, nice
did
reference.
Did you bring up Betty
way.
Davis?
You got to go out there like Kim Novak, man. You got to have some confidence,
like Lady Gaga.
Yeah, you got to be like the Little Monsters and Gaga out there. You got to be able to have some cachet and lie and act.
Right.
Do the TV. It's a show.
But Nick said he didn't care about television.
I didn't really care about the show, right? It's like I didn't come on for any way. If it happened, it happened. I made it very clear to you when I showed up and all the way through the process that whenever if you know I'm not it, to send me home.
Mm-hmm.
You knew why I showed up.
Yeah.
And so this whole like, will he look better if I, will it be, listen, like just send me home. And like, again... Did you really think that picking out a ring and thinking of a proposal speech and going through the whole speech was the best way to end it?
I don't.
I do.
For TV, it was.
For TV, it was.
That's what
she
should have said. Like, hey, that's what the producer told me.
Yeah.
That's what the guy told me.
I'm sure they did it. But they probably said to let him go.
Let him get it out. Humiliate himself.
Right. And then.
But don't let him get on a knee.
Right.
And
just stop him just short of that. And then let him go home in shame.
So the hour after the 2 hours was just his bitterness?
Well, his bitterness, their love.
Their love.
And promoting the next machination of this journey.
Starting Monday.
I don't know if we're going to do this, guys. You resisted it last year. The BIP. Are we going to do the BIP? Or am I going to go away into the night and be seen like when SC plays Notre Dame in like 6 months? Like, so, Petros, who's going to win? Oh, I really like Notre Dame in this one.
Are you talking Bachelor in Paradise?
I'm talking BIP. The BIP report.
Well, how much should we care about the BIP, Ralph?
You guys tell us.
Is the BIP, is it as good as this one?
The BIP. Better.
BIP is all the most dysfunctional parts of the Bachelor and Bachelorette crammed and multiplied, extrapolated, put on acid and hormones.
In Mexico with the Farmacia.
Right.
Okay. Valium for everybody.
Then we're in.
All right.
We're in.
Well, are we in?
Well,
look.
Don't let us propose.
We went through this.
And then just stop us before we get down on a knee.
I thought you
said
that to make you look good.
Yeah. Are we getting another limo
you
first?
In?
Is that what you're saying?
Look. Are you in, Pete?
I live in this prism of hell all year round.
So you're there whether we do this or not.
I have to do it for our show.
Ralph, are you in?
I'm watching the BIP, whether we talk about it or not. So if you want to talk about it, I'm already there. I've already done the research.
BIP.
The BIP report next week.
This is like asking a guy, if he's leaving town who really hates his town. And like, well, he's still there. He looks at you and says, I'm already gone.
I don't even know what that means.
You know what I'm saying? That's how in I am.
I think we're doing BIP next week.
All right, BIP it is.
All right.
Thanks, P. We love you, man. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
How do you figure, Kevin? How does that even come up in your head?
Just what is worst case scenario? It's a huge hit.
What are you guys talking about? What are you guys talking about?
Knock Knock Live.
What if Knock Knock Live suddenly becomes a huge hit? after eight people watching last week, suddenly everybody this week is going to say, I need to go watch me some Seacrest knocking.
But are they showing it again tonight?
They are, yeah.
They are, but why would you think that more people would watch it this week?
I didn't think that. I just said to Ralph, what if it becomes a huge hit?
But how can that even be a question you ask?
It's just what's worst case scenario?
But it doesn't make any sense because all anybody's heard since it aired last week is how horrible it was and how nobody watched it. And the people who did watch it hated it.
Right. So what's worst case scenario?
What if a flaming torch suddenly comes out of my butthole?
Thank you. But you understand me.
No, I don't understand you because I don't know where that question gets manufactured in the factory of your brain.
Kevin, God damn it.
Bieber is one of the celebrities involved tonight.
Oh, just gets better.
Lowest rated debut performance for any TV show in the history of the Fox Network last week,
right.
Yet they're bringing it back this week.
Right.
That's an astonishing decision.
I love it.
Isn't it? All right. Eddie F. next hour here on K-Rock. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday.
Thank you so much. Conan O'Brien's being sued by a writer from San Diego, California, who claims that Conan is using jokes that he tweeted.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
I knew it was just a matter of time before people started claiming that their material was being stolen off of Twitter. And that's what this guy is saying. Robert Kassenberg is his name. He wants hundreds of thousands of dollars in actual and statutory damages for allegedly violating his copyright on four jokes that he tweeted that he says were used verbatim by Conan O'Brien's staff.
Doesn't it seem like all topical comedians are working from the same headlines, though, and there are going to be similarities?
Pretty much. Remember when Jay Leno's people used to steal all my jokes?
I do remember that, actually.
Yeah. You don't see me going off suing people.
No.
The jokes were two of the four violated jokes were the following. The Washington Monument is 10 inches shorter than previously thought. You know, the winter has been cold when a monument suffers from shrinkage. Hello?
What? One person is claiming that joke?
Yeah, who wants that one?
Not two? That's crazy.
A Delta flight this week took off from Cleveland to New York with just two passengers, and they fought over the control of the armrest the entire flight. Hello?
Boo!
Hello?
Yeah, Conan didn't even say that.
Well, they did, actually. It was used on his show, but people are arguing over who came up with those jokes.
Okay.
Remember when Conan used to be on television?
Yeah, that was cool. I like this show.
Is he still on?
I don't think so. I think it's an internet thing.
Don't cry, Allie. It's okay.
Hate you.
That is Allie's boyfriend.
I know, yeah.
I love him so much.
But he's not on
television.
And
he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
First of all, he has a wooden hand.
He's two working hands.
And he's not on television anymore.
He's on TBS.
He's not.
He's the man who invented Booyah!
I don't believe
possibly
that was him at all.
And terrorist situation.
No terrorist situations. We're just saying Conan really isn't a high-profile television personality any longer. That's what we're saying. Would you meet him now, Allie, now that he sort of a has-been? Do you feel comfortable now meeting him because he doesn't have all that sort of fame and success around him? Would you feel more comfortable meeting him now?
His stuff from Comic-Con was great. Of him.
Was he just panhandling outside Comic-Con? Is that where you saw him? Was he
trying to get someone to give him a ticket?
Was he working the streets?
He was on a show. It's on TBS every night. Yeah.
I'll have to look into that.
That's weird.
To source you on that one. Here's some good news for nerds. Speaking of Comic-Con, Mark Hamill, who not only is Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars universe, but legendarily also one of the great Jokers of all time. He was the Joker in Batman the Animated Series and many other animated movies and video games. And it was widely considered that he'd retired that character, but a website called The Collider is saying that he agreed to do the voice work for the Joker in an upcoming movie, Batman the Killing Joke, based on the famous comic book of the same name, which will be out next year. So Mark Hamill, once again, voicing the Joker. This is great news.
All right.
For nerds everywhere. And Bono still is Saint Bono. You know, he has problems with his eyes. He's got glaucoma, Bono. You didn't know that?
Mm-mm.
That's why he always wears his sunglasses. And people mock him for wearing sunglasses indoors, but actually he's got some real eye problems. And he has been so moved by his condition, but by those, more importantly, who can't get good medical care, that he's working with the sunglass company Revo to provide eye care for 5 million people in need by the year 2020.
Wow.
2020, get it? Wink, wink. 2020.
The year 2020?
Oh, Kevin.
You know, the perfect vision is a 2020.
Kevin's joking, I
2020
think.
Vision. I don't think so.
He's got to be.
You didn't see the look on his face.
How dare you.
Bono said, thanks to good medical care, my eyes are okay, but tens of millions of people around the world with sight problems don't have access to glasses or even a basic eye test. So he is going to be raising money and providing eye care for impoverished people around the world, 5 million of them, by the year 2020. Year 2020?
I don't get it.
They both sit in the limo? Which one? I wouldn't get out first then.
That was a valid point.
That sure was. Today's celebrity birthdays. Garfield creator Jim Davis is 70 years old today. By the way, thanks to everyone who's backing me up on that Peanuts BS.
And thanks to everyone who's correctly calling out Ralph as being so wrong. Turns out that his hate for Peanuts.
Everyone agrees that Peanuts blows and Garfield is just marginally better.
Ralph appears to be on his own on that island of Peanuts hate.
Lori Loughlin's 51 years old today. Dana White turns 46. Elizabeth Berkley, not only from Saved by the Bell, but of course from Showgirls, turns 43 today. Afro Man is 41. Jacoby Shaddix celebrates his 39th
birthday. What do we
have
to do to get a little Afro Man on this show today? Come on.
I'm standing by, but no one told Ralph, so...
Why would you tell me? Why would anyone tell me?
I'm saying that was a mistake, so I was just going to wait it out. We were going to play it next hour.
And Cain Velasquez, UFC fighter, is 33 years old.
I was going to clean my room until I got high.
Here's Cain Velasquez now. Ty,
I was
going
to get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high.
Still awesome. Still love it.
Did you say 2020? I'm Ralph Garman. I'm walking Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is scary.
What's happening? Are you eating?
Nope. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:05.
Sounds like you're eating. Sounds like that's food.
Not even a little bit.
Nope. Okay. Hey, Eddie Eft in minutes. Ronda Rousey on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow, by the way. Very excited about Ronda. We all kind of love her so much.
Kevin, do you love Ronda?
I do. I love Ronda. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas, Nevada is in the news, you guys. Kevin mentioned this earlier today, but I eloped to Las Vegas. I was one of those people.
Bean, tell people the story of that magical night.
The short version of the story is we don't even known each other for 5 months. We had no plans, had never had a discussion about getting married, and we were going to the movies, and the movies was sold out. So I says to my girlfriend at the time, I says, hey, let's go to Las Vegas to get married. Because you know me, I come up with a lot of great ideas.
Sure.
And she's like, okay. So we drive down the airport. We get on a little plane, and we fly to Las Vegas, and we get off the plane, and we take a cab over to the county courthouse, Clark County Courthouse, get ourselves some paperwork, and then head over to the Graceland Wedding Chapel where we have a ceremony, and then we head right back to the airport and get on a plane and come home. And that's it. And then the next morning we wake up and go, did that really happen? But here we are all these years later, still married. So it was a fluke idea. And I think that's part of why this story caught my attention, Kevin, is because the headline is more couples say I don't to Sin City weddings. Here's a news report on the same topic, why people seem to be avoiding getting married in Las Vegas.
This morning, many would-be brides and grooms are turning their backs on the city that calls itself the wedding capital of the world.
And from this day,
I promise to be
your hunk of burning love.
Elvis impersonator Brendan Paul performs up to 130 ceremonies a week at the Graceland Wedding Chapel.
I now pronounce you husband and wife.
But these days, that's the exception, because the rest of the Vegas wedding scene is all shook up. Clark County Clerk Lynn Goya says the number of marriage licenses issued in Las Vegas has plummeted from 127,000 in 2004 to just 80,000 last year. Some experts believe increased competition from other destinations like Hawaii and Mexico are to blame. Others say it's an image problem.
What is the greatest misconception about a Vegas wedding?
That it's spontaneous and not well thought out, and that the couple doesn't really want to get married and they regret it the next day.
That was what Bean's story was.
All true. Every bit of that is true in my case. By the way, that sounds like a lot of people, 80,000 people still getting married in Las Vegas, but they've lost a third of the weddings that they were doing just 10 years ago. So does Las Vegas have an image problem? We asked producer Dave, who can we talk to? And we have a man named Vinny Maluki on the line with us now from Las Vegas. Vinny, I'm sorry, our producer did not tell us what organization you're with, sir.
Hey, it's none of your business.
Okay. Okay, I thought maybe you might be representing the city
or the wedding industry.
First of all,
it's Maluchi.
Maluchi. Maluchi, I apologize, okay?
Yeah, you're going to be sorry.
Okay, Vinny, I don't want to...
Let's just say I represent a coalition of local businessmen who are concerned about the drop-off of tourism in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay.
Fair enough. Do you have any response to the news report audio that we just played suggesting that maybe people who get married in Las Vegas aren't taking their wedding vows seriously?
Yeah, those people are stupid.
Okay. Stupid. Okay.
You should come to Las Vegas and get married. But don't be a jamoke like you who come in and you get married, then you get on a plane and you leave right away. Stick around. Buy something. Gamble, you mook.
Okay, so obviously you and the city's interest is getting tourist dollars in, but how is that good for us, the consumer?
It's good because, listen, you're in Vegas, you get married, and then, like, what else are you going to do? Catch a show, I don't know, do some freaking thing. It don't matter what you do, but come here and enjoy yourself.
Okay.
Listen,
all right.
You're already making the worst gamble of your life, okay? You come and you get married. You know what? You get 50% payout on that deal right there.
Well,
the slot machine, which is a sucker bet, 75% usually we get payout on the slot machine. So you're improving your odds 25% by sticking around and stick a quarter in the machine instead of marrying some broad you just met and you get all loopy. Oh, the movies are closed. Let's go get married like a stunats.
I don't know what a stunats is, but it doesn't sound good, Vinny. I'll tell you that. What about, so the Elvis weddings are still popular, this news report says.
Yeah,
are there
that asshole, Jesus.
Well, a lot of people, they think about Elvis when they think about Las Vegas, though.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care why you do it. If you want to go talk to a dead guy who's going to marry you, do that. I don't care. But okay. Come to Vegas is what I'm saying.
All right.
Don't make me come get you and bring you to Vegas. You don't want that to happen.
I don't want that. No,
you're goddamn right you don't.
Are there other kinds of weddings that the city is promoting to try to get people to come to?
All kinds of weddings. You got Elvis. You got that guy.
Right.
We got other people. We got a Carrot Top wedding.
A Carrot Top wedding.
Yeah, it's actually Carrot Top. He comes over and he marries you, but he pulls out like some kind of prop hammer or something and hits you with a melon. I don't know anything about these guys.
Okay.
There's also, they call the mob wedding.
A mob wedding.
Mob wedding, which is like you get married at gunpoint.
Well, that doesn't seem like
you got a shotgun
problem?
Wedding.
You got a problem with that?
Well, it just doesn't seem romantic.
How do you know? You ever done it?
Well, no, but it sounds like you're getting married because
what do you know what I'm talking about then?
It sounds like you're being forced to get married, though. That's not how anybody wants to start a wedding.
Hey, let me tell you something. Most people are forced to get married, okay? But one way or the other, one person or the other. Somebody says, oh, there's no more movies, let's go. And this poor little girl thinks if I don't go, he's going to murder me right here in the parking lot.
I don't know if that's what happened.
That's what happened.
That's
you
probably
know
pretty
what happened.
Accurate, yeah.
Don't say that's not what happened.
Okay. All right, Vinny, whatever you say, sir.
So come to Vegas, get married, spend a little money, and then get the hell out of our town. We don't want to see you no more.
Okay, so spend money, but then get out.
What did I just say? Did I stutter?
Well, I mean, I think I was.
I'm coming to your house next. I'm gonna burn your house to the ground. I'm gonna pee on the ashes.
Okay. Good to talk to you. I think Eddie Ift is driving his party bus.
The bingo bus? Yeah, he might be. Yeah. He might be. He's not here yet, so we haven't seen Eddie yet, but he's expected to arrive any minute here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Looking forward to that. First, though, Allie McKay's got a new crush. She's in love. You know, Allie doesn't know any men in real life, but she falls in love a lot on the internet. And I introduced her earlier this morning to the Cajun John Wayne. Allie, tell me the truth. How much time have you spent this morning looking at videos of Lieutenant Clay Higgins?
I might have liked his Facebook page already.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Lieutenant Higgins is the spokesman for the St. Landry Parish Sheriff's Office in Opelousas, Louisiana. And he's the guy who does a show called Crime Stoppers, where he's a former Army man who's now with the police. And he goes on, he basically talks about the crimes that have happened in the area and asks for the public's help to find people. And he's become a little bit of a viral sensation because he tells it like it is. Here's one of his recent reports. For the first 30 seconds, it just sounds kind of like a typical police report where he's describing the crime, but then it gets personal.
On Wednesday night, July the 8th, Stelly's Market and Restaurant on Highway 71 was broken into and burglarized. The thief smashed the front glass with a large rock, kicked in the office door, and made off with hundreds of dollars in cash. Watch as a man commits his crime. Look at him close. The hooded jacket he's wearing is camouflage. He appears to be light-skinned or white, and he looks to be around 6 foot tall and thin. Watch how he walks with sort of a lanky gait.
All right, so that's the facts of the case, okay?
Right.
Now, like I said, it gets personal. Now he's mad.
Stelly's has been a local favorite for decades. The family works hard and is known to be generous. always with a kind word for friend or stranger, the Stelly family represents Southern hospitality at its best. If you're the man that committed this felony, look at me, son. I'm talking to you. The sheriff likes Stelly's restaurant, and so do I. The food here is good, and the folks are friendly. We're going to identify you, arrest you, and put you in a small cell. After that, I'm going to have a cheeseburger here with fries and a Coke.
All right.
And leave a nice tip for the waitress.
See, this is why I love the lieutenant. Hi, Eddie F. Tower, my friend.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're talking about the Lieutenant Higgins, Louisiana, his Crime Stoppers TV show. This is why I love the lieutenant, is because he is personally invested in Stelly's, man. This is a place that he wants to eat, and he wants to make sure nothing bad happens to those nice people.
But correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but he stole a couple of $100s. Isn't this usually for, like, grand theft
the
or
point.
Murder or something?
It's the principal. It's Stelly's.
All right.
The point is, Kevin, that he's a bad, bad man, and he needs to pay for what he's done. And listen to where the crook's next meal is going to be.
Meanwhile, your next meal will be served through a small hole in a cell door because our detectives harvested DNA from the rock you used, and you left a perfect boot print on the door you kicked in.
Oh, snap!
But we won't have to wait on lab results because you're on St. Landry Crime Stoppers tonight. Congratulations, son. I'm about to make you famous. By tomorrow, 100,000 people will have watched you commit a felony.
By the way, there are numerous instances, Allie, I'm sure you've seen this in the research, numerous instances of people, once the Crime Stopper show hits the air, they drive to the police station and turn themselves in.
I would.
Yes. They just, like, give up?
Yep. They go, well, I guess it's out there. If Lieutenant Higgins is on me, I guess it's out there.
It's over.
All right.
I feel like this guy's arrested.
You will be.
Yeah, I know, right?
I feel like I know this guy.
He's every cop in the South that you ever had trouble with, Eddie.
You will be recognized. And the people that know you don't really like you anyway.
Oh.
So when it comes down to a choice between you and $1,000, they'll take the cash. On behalf of Crime Stoppers, I'm Lieutenant Higgins.
So there's a $1,000 reward for a couple of $100 of
not good
stolen
economics.
Money? That doesn't make sense.
It's a good plan. Anyway, there's our new friend, Lieutenant Clay Higgins. Here's our other new friend, Eddie F., who joins us in studio. We were wondering if the bingo bus slowed you down today, Eddie.
No, I didn't take the bingo bus today. It's sitting in the driveway. Neighbors are real happy.
When you drive that through L.A. traffic...
I don't drive it
you
often.
Don't drive.
I make Jason drive it.
All right. You know? So when he drives it.
When he drives it.
It seems like it'd be very difficult to move around.
Well, even worse, my name's on the side of it.
Well, there's that.
And I'll get tweets that'll say, hey, Eddie Ift, your bus almost just hit me.
Look to your right.
Yeah.
I know it was a good idea at the time. How's it been working out for you so far? Have you done all of these miracle shows that you were going to do now that you have the capability?
Not exactly. Let's just say... It is, it's a money pit.
It's a money pit.
It's a giant money pit.
You brought it by when? Last, like a year ago.
No, it was in March. I started
or
it
in
about,
March.
I started it.
By the way, it's a money pit for you. How do you think we feel? I donated money to that thing and got
nothing out of it.
Yes.
You haven't gotten your Kickstarter reward yet.
I got nothing, man.
Put his name on the side of it as well.
All right, so why is it a money pit? I thought the whole point of the Kickstarter was to raise all the money you need to get this thing up and running.
I blew through $65,000 so quickly building it and put probably another 20 or 30 of my own into it.
Mm-hmm.
And but now I've got I was talking to my managers about it. I said, originally it was like I was going to buy this bus and throw a beanbag in the back.
Right.
And then we started decking it out and making this beautiful studio inside. And they were like, just keep going. You know, why not?
When you brought it by yesterday, it was empty, but you were showing me, oh, this is the digital state of the art. This is where all this is going to go. And all the monitors are going here.
Yeah. And we did. But now we're at the point where a lot of we've got a production company that is trying to create a TV show around it. So that's where we are right now.
So great is the enemy of good, as they say.
Yeah, and
good is the enemy of great. However that expression goes.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm my head's spinning right now. I had to meet with a million producers, and we chose one, and now we go to the networks, and hopefully they decide to make a
now,
TV show.
Now, what's the TV show?
The TV show would be like it's kind of like a mobile. It's kind of like Wayne's World on the road. Because the whole concept of my wife kicked the podcast out of the house.
Right. Too many strippers.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say strippers.
Prostitutes. Too many prostitutes.
Prostitutes, beer boarding. What else was it? The hot dog eating contest she wasn't happy about.
Yeah, that was the last straw.
I think, no, the last straw was the face slapping contest the night before my wedding.
Oh, right.
What woman wouldn't like that?
Yeah, we have the video of her screaming.
Eddie, have you recorded one podcast in the Bingo Box?
Yes, yeah, we record.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we take it to the Improv on Wednesday nights.
Okay, so it is functional.
But wait, if you're going to the Improv, why do you need the Bingo Box?
Because it's great, because, you know, it's legal for everything, because it's considered a recreational vehicle, so it's our home, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
What do you mean?
I don't need Officer Higgins following us now.
Come on, Allie. Think about the things that are legal to do inside your house that may not be legal to do in public. Come on. Use your head, girl.
She just pointed to
yes,
her
Yes, she
butt.
Did. Yep.
No, it has nothing happened. To do with your butt, Allie.
Well, I don't know. Let's ask Eddie. You don't know that, Bean.
That's exactly why we got it.
So. Eddie Ift is here. He'll be on stage at the Improv tonight with the Bingo Bus in tow, by the way. You can see him starting at 8 o'clock. Tickets are just $12, 18 and up, please. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Eddie Ift is here. He'll be at the Improv tonight at 8 o'clock. Tickets available now, just $12 through improv.com. Go see Mr. Ift. You'll have a great time. What have you been up to, dude? Where have you been?
That's the Irvine Improv, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm down in Irvine this week.
Did I not say that?
I think you said Improv.
Okay, Improv. Irvine Improv. That's the one. That's where you want to go.
That's the one down in Orange County. It's like 700 seats, so bring everyone you know.
Okay.
Do not come by yourself.
It's a massive room.
Eddie, are you turning into some sort of crazy fitness junkie?
No, I've always been kind of into it. It keeps me out of trouble when I'm on the road, put it that way.
Eddie, I don't climbed... feel like anything keeps you out of trouble.
True.
Kevin, you'll appreciate this, being from there. Eddie climbed Camelback Mountain recently.
Yeah, that's sort of a small mountain, though, Bean.
It is. It's a...
it's a little... That's not exactly.
All right.
You're not climbing Everest here, for
but
God's
for,
sakes.
For a comedian, that's a big mountain.
All right. Okay.
I climbed Brokeback Mountain, too.
That I don't doubt at all. Is that what it is? Is you just, when you're, except for the hour you're on stage, you've got so much time to kill when you're on the road that you feel like the thing to do is to just CrossFit and run and climb and do all that nonsense?
Yeah, because I used to just party all night, wake up at like 4 in the afternoon, get some food, and go to my show.
That sounds like a pretty good life, Eddie. That sounds like that's why you get into being a comedian.
Eddie would be 400 pounds right now if he kept that up.
I was getting in trouble. I was getting in a lot of trouble. So it keeps me out of trouble. But then I go to CrossFit. I'm like, I'm in more pain than if I had a hangover. Why did I do this?
But how many times do you go do the show, like at the Irvine Improv, and then you go, hey, I need to get to bed because I'm going to get up and CrossFit, and then it just doesn't happen.
Last night.
A couple of drinks.
Last night. I was out with this guy, Milan, who he's famous in the comedy world because nobody knows what he really does for a job, but he's at every comedy festival. He's everywhere, and he'll be in Australia. You'll see him. He was in Montreal last week. He was out in L.A. last night, and he's just known for buying people drinks and getting them drunk. And he distributes – he works with a DVD company and distributes a lot of comedians' DVDs.
Okay.
And so you see him and you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh.
This is not the night I had planned.
And I got Milan'd last night. Oh. And he he's on Facebook, and every comedian, you'll see a picture, and you're like, as soon as you see the picture of them with him, you call them. You're like, are you okay?
Everything all right?
Did you make it through? And they're like, that guy.
Now, does that guy drink as well, or does he just get you drunk?
Oh, he drinks,
oh,
too.
Oh, he does, too. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But he won't let you have an empty glass in your hand.
Okay. All right.
That's dangerous.
You guys will find him somewhere at some time. You'll be like,
I'm with this guy.
He's like famous for being the guy that just gets you drunk.
I can't wait to get Milan'd.
Right?
Yeah.
That does sound kind of good.
Awesome.
Eddie, why is it that non-CrossFit people seem to have...
Hate CrossFit?
Yes, a negative view of CrossFit people. Is it because CrossFit people won't shut the F up about how much they do CrossFit?
Yeah, it's that. Here's what happened. When I first started doing it like 7 years ago, it was like secretive. You had to like climb through a window to get in the gym. They didn't put names anywhere. It was this like creepy little underworld of like, hey, you want to get in really good shape? This is what like Navy SEALs do. And now soccer moms are doing it. And they're like, look at me fly! and it's just like...
So it's annoying.
Yeah,
other
exactly.
People who don't
yeah,
do it.
It's exactly what's happened. It's and they just want to tell you about it. And I even do a podcast about it that is all about how annoying it is.
Look, Beer Mug wears a CrossFit t-shirt all the time, and you just go, what are you doing?
But Beer Mug doesn't do CrossFit.
I know, that's my point. Like, why would you walk around like that with a CrossFit t-shirt on?
Why is it better than regular working out?
It's not. It's whatever you want to do. It's just my thing because I don't like I kind of like the fact that I've got to go in a gym. If I went in a gym and they said – and I had to go work out – 4 hours later, I'd still be drinking a smoothie talking to people.
Right, sure.
So I go in the gym and they're like, ding, 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 go. And I'm like, oh, I got to go. So it keeps me, that's why I do it. Because it's like any kind of, and I can't do Zumba or like, that's the one that makes me insane is that SoulCycle.
SoulCycle?
Do you know about SoulCycle?
I don't.
Imagine a sorority on wheels.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I went into this SoulCycle in New York, and it's, like, a whole bunch of people, like, spinning. Women. Mostly women.
Right.
And they're, like, shouting and cheering. They're like, go. You're amazing. You're skinny. You're pedaling. Your friends hate you because you're getting skinny.
Nope.
Go, 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 go. And they're all like, everybody together. Go, 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 go.
Oh, God.
And I look at my friend like, what have you done to me? And I want to get up and get out, and the girl's like, you're not moving. Sit down now. And the girls are like high-fiving, and it's like $80 for an hour of this.
What?
Oh, it's crazy. Look this up. And they all, you know, they sign up, and it went public. And
it's a racket. Women are into it. They buy the sweats that say SoulCycle, the hats. It's like a sorority.
And you're going to be running a class soon of SoulCycling. Is that going to be you?
I'm going to own one because it's making money.
Right. What's the deal? You have Dave wants me to ask you about your illegal CrossFit shoes.
Oh yeah, Nike put out these CrossFit shoes, and they're called they're banned or something because that Reebok and Nike fight over owning CrossFit or not owning. Reebok has the main sponsor,
okay,
so they won't let CrossFit into the CrossFit games or anything.
Okay,
and so Nike made the Jordans, the Air Jordan colors. When do you remember when Jordan was banned? Then when they wouldn't let Jordan wear the Jordans in the NBA?
In the NBA, right.
Oh, right, 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 yeah.
So they made them in those colors. And I have them on, actually, today. And
And when you run into other CrossFit guys, they go, burn! I mean, they're, like, really into your shoes.
It was, like, one of the – you know how, like, Nike has people, like, line up for shoes?
Right.
This was, like, one of the shoes that people, like, lined up like crazy to get. And Nike sent them to me before they came out. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm on Kevin and Bean. And
sending you to us.
Yeah, maybe Nike should send you guys some. They're really nice.
Maybe because you have a CrossFit podcast.
Yeah, that's why, exactly. And, but our podcast was banned by CrossFit for a while.
What?
Yeah,
that's a sentence that has never been said before.
All my podcasts get banned.
Yeah.
Apple banned.
Everything that you're in contact with, in general, you run into trouble somewhere along the way.
Apple banned my show for, full year, practically, when we kept getting kicked off. And then when we were doing the CrossFit podcast, all the guests were told by the headquarters that they weren't allowed to come on our show.
Wow.
Because we would talk.
This is real.
Yeah.
Because
we would talk,
ish.
A little honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. They don't like that.
Yeah. Nobody likes honesty. Ask
Eddie,
Tom Cruise.
Where are you in your comedy right now? What are at the Irvine Improv tonight? Are you working on
Lord?
Are you working on a new hour? Or what are you doing?
I had a baby, so I have 4 hours of material.
4 hours, okay.
And it's just me talking about my apocalyptic life right now. It's not normal.
How old is your baby?
I don't know.
Okay, that's a good start.
Well, I hate when people.
Is it like a year?
Does this bother you as much?
Yes,
as me?
It does.
When people go, my baby's 27 months.
Yeah, I don't want to do math.
Yeah,
give me a year.
Yeah, round down.
Right, but you said I don't know. I feel like that's at the other end of the spectrum. has your baby graduated high school yet? Not sure.
No.
Okay.
She's like half a year.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. About. Give or take.
And by the way, Eddie, that is all. That's as close as anyone needs to know how old your baby is.
Yeah.
We don't need 7.5 months.
Who really cares?
Roughly 6 months or roughly a year. That's as much as you should break it down. But what can you bring to, hey, I just had a baby, and I know you think this way, that can possibly be different from what every comedian before you has done at the same material?
I've had people say to me, I've never heard anyone talk about a baby like that. And I'm like, is that good? And they're like, no. like I would say, when she was born, my friend said, wasn't it the most amazing day of your life? And I go, no, no. And I always say, I go, I love her now. I didn't when I got her. And they're like, you didn't love your baby? I'm like, she was a stranger. I had never met that person before, and I think it's weird when people love something they don't know. You know, like, you've never – if a stranger walked up to you in the street and was like, I love you, you'd be like, I'm getting a restraining order.
Stay away from me.
That's why babies cry when they come out of the womb, because there's two people standing over going, I love you. And the baby's like, back off. Give it a week. You know, like, let's get to know.
Maybe you don't know. Maybe I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah. I mean, hasn't anybody here been on Kettle of Fish or one of those things? You meet somebody, it might take a while to get to know them, and sometimes it doesn't work out. And that's what an orphanage is for.
That's a very reasonable way to approach it, I think, Eddie. Yeah. I think you're on to something, though.
We're getting along now. I love her now. It took, I'd say it took, I don't know, maybe like a month.
Okay.
And then, but
your love is more honest, though, than everybody else that just makes it up.
People are like, wasn't – I hate the – people lie. People are like, wasn't it amazing that first day? No. Amazing. I had a threesome once with two strippers from Spearmint Rhino. That was an amazing day.
That does fall amazing.
That was the most amazing day of my life. I retired after that.
So when people say to me, you don't know love because you've never had a child – that's not right.
That's a terrible
it?
Thing to say to anyone.
People do
yeah,
say
that's
that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. It's horrible. Yeah.
I got a puppy. It was amazing. The first day with the puppy licked my face. It sat. It like ate its food on its own. It was fun. It played. The baby just looked at me like, help me, I'm dying. That's not a fun day.
By the way, you're not sure if the baby likes you yet, even yet.
True.
Probably.
True. True. And I'm not sure if she does. She likes me. Yeah, she likes me better than my wife, I think.
She does.
I think so, because I'm more entertaining.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's true.
Yeah, like I will dance. I will dance for this baby. I do whatever it takes to keep it from crying.
Okay.
you just said it.
Well, you know, these days, you know, I don't like to be gender specific.
Sure. Good.
Yeah, you know, we're in this world now.
Because you haven't heard from him or her how he or she, you know, relates, right? You don't know.
No, and I don't want to get the social justice warriors mad at me,
right? Okay.
They're on a campaign against me. One social justice warrior wrote, after my show in Kansas, of all places, recently, wrote to every comedy club that I'm booked at in the future, every newspaper in that town.
That's some dedication.
All of my agents, like I'm with one of those big agencies and I've met like one person there.
Right.
Well, this person somehow got all their emails and wrote to all of them. Calling me, saying that my comedy is hate speech.
Hate speech?
Hate speech. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of your comedy. I don't think it's hate speech at all.
I don't either.
It's not politically correct at all.
No, but these social justice warriors, they need something to do and no one engages them in their life. Mm-hmm. But they've found if they go online and complain about you, all of a sudden they create an argument and everybody talks to them. And then they get back on their fixed gear bicycle with their ski cap on in the summer and they wax their mustache and ride back to their studio apartment where they make their craft beer and get on their blog and write more things about my hate speech.
Well, every show with Eddie F. could be the last show with Eddie F., so you don't want to miss him at the Irvine Improv tonight at 8 o'clock. Get your tickets at improv.com. Just a one midweek show, right?
Yeah, I'm doing one because I'm headed – I've been on tour like crazy because I got a baby. And and so I go to Irvine Wednesday night, and then Friday and Saturday I'm in San Diego at the where am I? These names of comedy clubs. House of Comedy, Madhouse Comedy, Comedy This, Comedy That.
Does it involve chuckles?
Yeah, something
laughs
with a ha 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 ha.
Okay.
Funny Funnies. Eddie's at Uncle Funny Chuck.
Uncle Funny Chuck's is a great place. Well, listen, thank you for coming in. I'm sorry the traffic sucked today, but it's always great to see you. Good luck with the baby. Good luck with the CrossFit.
Thanks for having
me. Good
luck
with the social
guys.
Justice warriors. Come back anytime, Eddie.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:57. And if you're interested in being part of K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015, stop number 4, the Kaboo Music Festival, with no doubt The Killers, 311, and more. Keep on listening. Your chance coming up in minutes. I mean, literally, in minutes.
What kind of security do they have at the Kabul
Comedy
Festival? There's all kinds of unstable political groups there, and everyone's vying for the territory. And I don't think those troops are well-trained enough really to be able to defend that on their own.
It isn't Kabul.
Are American troops there? Do they have any sort of armed guard that gets you into Kabul
Nothing
and out of Kabul?
Nothing to do with
After
Afghanistan.
The yucks of Kabul?
Ralph.
What?
Nothing to do with Afghanistan.
Well, why do they call it the Kabul Comedy
Festival?
It's
Kaboo. K-A-A-B-O-O. It's a music festival in Del Mar, California. It's completely safe.
I don't know that it's completely safe, yeah. But it is in California.
That's bad marketing right there.
It's not Kabul, though.
Sure sounds like
it may, yeah.
Sure sounds like mm-hmm. it when you say it.
It does seem like if you're going to make up a word.
It's the ISIS Music Festival. Yeah, we're going to the ISIS Music Festival. What? No, it's about the sun goddess ISIS, the Egyptian sun goddess. I don't care. It's a bad name. Just saying. People confuse me. Want a couple quick emails before I get into the showbiz beat. Thanks to Christian Anderson for writing in. Peanuts has never been funny once. Makes me irritable just thinking about it. Thank you, Christian.
He's an idiot.
Eddie Raines writes, I'm with you, Ralph.
Peanuts an idiot.
Blows. No humor. Just a cartoon filled with dour-faced kids and an arrogant dog. Thank you, Eddie. You're right. And finally, Dave Drummond. Peanuts is the beer mug of holiday specials. The end. So it seems like America is really, it's a grassroots movement. Really.
It's unified finally over one
finally,
thing.
Finally, there's one thing we can all agree on in America.
That's great.
That's a peanut.
And
the
Peanuts
blows.
Is probably the best comic strip that has ever appeared in newspapers. That's what we're saying. That's the takeaway here.
It's not even the best comic strip that Charles Schulz read, let alone best one ever appeared in newspapers.
Who hurt you, Ralph?
Peanuts.
Charles Schulz?
Yes, from not being funny, though the pain was excruciating. And everyone's going, it's an American institution.
Yeah. I don't want to hijack another segment
of
Ralph's hate.
Well, then shut up. Then shut up.
But
why are you hijacking if you don't want to?
I just have one question. Why do you think that millions of Americans have fallen in love with Peanuts for decades?
Because it came in a time when humor was a desert, and that was a drop of water. But then when we moved to a lush tropical rainforest, we didn't need the water from the desert anymore. But people by then thought, oh, it's been around for a while. It must be good. And those people were disfigured and mentally ill.
Wow.
And everyone who loves Peanuts is disfigured and mentally ill.
I think that's fair.
It is fair.
Yeah,
it's science.
I think it's a fair statement.
Absolutely. Hey, The Bachelorette did very well for itself. Ratings are in.
Better than Knock Knock Live?
Better than Knock Knock Live by about...
As if that's possible.
20 times. Well over 8 million viewers last night for the finale of The Bachelorette. A 2.4 share in the coveted 18 to 49 demo, so congratulations. Actually, 2.4 rating and 9 share. But it was the big winner for last night as the ratings are in. And also another big winner, Caitlyn Jenner's I Am Kate. Ratings are in for that show. It scored a 1.3 rating in that same demo, about 3 million viewers overall. Pretty good for basic cable.
Yeah.
So... Those
Kevin, you watched that.
I did.
I'm sure there was a lot of interest in the first episode in her reality series. How do you think it will do going forward? Is the type of thing that was compelling enough that it makes you want to see more?
I think so, because the championing of this cause of understanding people is what she's doing brilliantly. Mm-hmm. I think so. I really liked it. They brought, you know, her mom shows up, and her mom is 88, 89, 90?
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to make sense of this.
But I don't want to tune in any show every week to just be lectured at.
No, no. This wasn't lecturing. It was him.
I think it's teaching by example,
I'm
right?
Sorry.
You're following this person's life, and she is living this stuff, and you're learning from watching her live those experiences.
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I felt a little sorry for her mom, though, because imagine, you know... Not
it's
understanding
a lot
that
to absorb,
not
to
understanding
deal with.
That about your son your whole life,
mm-hmm.
and now you know
it's a lot to deal with.
It really is, and she was
but
really
a mother's
trying her best.
Love is boundless, regardless of what Eddie Ift says about children. It is kind of remarkable when you have kids. Most of us do feel a remarkable, an endless capacity for love and compassion for our children. Not Eddie, as I mentioned, but many of us, many of the human beings who have children react that way immediately upon seeing them after their birth. It's very strange.
Eddie's a special case.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
Just a bit.
Very special. And you know why people give you their kids' age in months? It's because of... there are achievement thresholds that happen on a monthly basis the first 2 years of life. So if you're talking to another parent, you know at 8 months, certain things are happening in that kid's development. And so it gives you an idea of what that experience is like.
I get that. But why do people think that other parents care what their kid is doing? Well, I think...
No, it's just a reference point. When you say 8 months, I go, oh, I know exactly what that, where that kid is now, because at the eight-month level, this is happening in its development. So it's just, it's sort of a shorthand, so you can sort of tell your tell other people where you are at with your kid.
6 months is acceptable. 1 year is acceptable. Nothing else.
You're missing my point exactly, which is the other months mean something.
Right, but again, that's assuming that the other parent gives a rat's F what your kid is doing at 8 months. I'm suggesting they don't.
Right, but what Ralph's saying is you wouldn't be talking to somebody about your 8-month-old child if they weren't interested in...
Right. It's a shorthand. It's people who like people. We're not talking about those.
I don't like it.
Not people who deal with saving spiders and things like that. You know, people. Again, not the you and the Eddies of the world, but I'm just saying... For those of us here on this planet, we have a way of talking to each other. Today's celebrity birthdays. Garfield creator Jim Davis is 70 years old today. The whole Peanuts thing got started because Garfield, one of the worst comic strips in the world, yet still better than Peanuts. That was the whole point. 70 years old today. Lori Loughlin is 51. Dana White, UFC president, is 46. Elizabeth Berkley, how we loved her in Saved by the Bell, and even more so in Showgirls, that Gina Gershon. You know what I'm saying?
Don't make that sound.
Come on.
Please don't.
Yes, we do.
Jacoby Shaddix is 39 years old today. Cain Velasquez, speaking of the UFC, he is 33 years old. And Afro Man is 41.
I was going to clean my room until I got high.
That's all we got time for.
I wouldn't listen to it.
Oh, why not? Why wouldn't you listen to it?
That was good. I enjoyed that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Brandon Boucher from Los Angeles. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are eligible for the Kevin and Bean... No, it's not that what it is at all.
It's not our festival?
Even a little bit. Nope. The K-Rock Road Trip USA 2050, the Kaboo Music Festival featuring No Doubt, The Killers, 311, Foster the People, and so much more. Your next chance to qualify for the 3-day passes happens at noon today. Get your details at krock.com. Don't mock.
I'm not mocking.
I'm not good. All right, listen. Here's a, you guys remember a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months now, when a little bit of a controversy on the program because Ally McKay revealed that she would never date anyone who had email. Remember that cover that had the whole cover? Or anyone who owned a television.
Came to blows, remember? Right. She hated us that day.
And a lot of people thought that we were too hard on her. We thought she was setting the bar too high because the truth is she didn't want to date anyone who emailed her. That was just out of the blue. She just said no.
I wasn't here. Was that true, Allie?
Yes. It's not how it went down. It had a lot to do with safety, had a lot to do with some past experiences. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, so we Allie can choose, date whoever she wants. We certainly weren't trying to force her to do anything. But now I think it's gone too far because now Allie won't walk on a path in the woods with a guy.
Nope. Murderers.
Because all men are murderers.
Because apparently all men are murderers in her mind because all she watches is Dateline NBC.
Well, that could be.
And she thinks every relationship ends in murder.
Most cruises, hikes, and if a guy gives you Gatorade, the flu will kill you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Look, I understand, Allie, that you have to be aware of things that maybe we take for granted, and that is our safety. I understand that you want to have an escape plan. I get it. You're making smart choices because you don't want to end up cut up. I get that. But every story is not a murder waiting to happen. You know, sometimes people just get together and they go out and they have a nice time and it's fine. And no one thinks about killing anybody.
Not in Allie's world. She hears Keith Morrison's head, her voice in her head at all times. So, Allie went into the Starbucks, never to come out again.
So here's the story that got us talking about hiking as a first date. Now, granted, maybe it didn't go perfectly for this young couple.
A young man and a woman who say they got lost on their first date. They had to be rescued up in the Angeles National Forest.
On Friday, the two went hiking on Dawn Mine Trail in Altadena. The pair was engaged in conversation, and that was when they realized something was wrong.
On the way down, we were just talking, and I lost my sense of direction and took a wrong turn somewhere.
Fortunately, they had cell service and were able to call 911.
The sheriff's department...
Okay, it doesn't matter for the rest of the story. But all right,
even a story, by the way.
Well, they were helicoptered out.
And we called on the cell phone.
Full cell.
We got saved about 20 minutes later. I don't even know why you're here, Rick Chambers.
They were helicoptered out, and that's, I think, why it made the news. So this is Tina Mirzakhanihamahanaham and Shant Gazari. They were on a first date hiking the Dawn Mine Trail in the foothills above Altadena. And what Allie says is, how dumb is this woman for agreeing to go on a hike on a first date? Please tell us more, Allie.
Here's the thing. It's twofold. One, it's your first time. You're getting to know each other. Have people around, one. be somewhere safe, well lit. Have a cocktail. Have coffee. Somewhere where you know you're going to be safe. There's other people. Not walking down a random trail where he can then butcher you. Number two.
Right. Like the butcher is right.
Where did your brain go?
Number two.
Right, the butcher.
On a lesser note, you need an escape plan if it's a horrible first date.
Now, I was thinking about this.
Not just the murder part, but oh my God, you're now 3 miles into a hike. This guy wants to talk religion and politics. Good God, get me out of here. You, what do you say? Hey, let's turn around and walk the 3 miles back. You can't even get cell phone reception from your friend to say, hey, I need you. Oh, there's my out. You cannot get away.
I agree with her on this one. I was thinking about it last night because
Thank
if
you,
it's
Kevin.
A first date.
Yeah.
First date.
Right.
A lot of times those can go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
You know, just from a dull standpoint or
yes.
or they're the wrong person.
You know they're
whatever.
Not climbing Kilimanjaro,
yes.
right? They don't have
Agreed.
Sherpas and like big rucksacks full of
but
supplies.
What do you do?
It's
like
a walk
just said,
to the Angeles Crest Forest by Altadena. It's like a stroll.
Right, but you're 3 miles in. What do you do if you're miserable?
Say,
well,
I gotta go.
Just turn and run?
No, just turn and say, let's go back, because I've got abdominal discomfort.
That's
Look,
another thing.
You need
what
an
if
out.
Get the runs?
You need an out. That's
Look,
all. There, for date one, you need an out.
There are a lot of things we don't know about this couple or about this date. For all we know, they have been chatting online for 6 months
right.
before they
sure.
got together for the first date. Okay,
Maybe
so they
love
know.
Hiking. Maybe they met on hikersonly.com.
That's that
was
a thing.
The dating site for hikers.
I don't
you
think
don't
that's
know.
A thing.
What's that website again? Hikersonly.com. I met a nice hiking girl. I'm going to go on a hike.
I'm saying, in general, that seems like a bad first date.
I agree with that. I think it's worth bringing up, but I also think, Allie, that you're assuming that they're 80 miles into the forest and they're going to be living there for 2 weeks. And I think
okay,
Ralph is probably. I think what Ralph is saying is closer to the truth. Is probably it's an hour. Probably it's in and out is an hour
right,
total.
But if you're in a restaurant
still,
with somebody
right?
that's a psycho,
then that's an hour too, though.
No, you got
an hour.
Not. I'll be right back. I got to go to the. And
yep.
you're out.
Yeah,
Kevin's running around
right.
the parking lot, jumping over fences,
crawling out the window of the
Look,
bathroom.
If there's a psychopath who wants to murder you, it doesn't
no,
matter.
No, no,
forest,
a
psychopath,
it does
don't,
matter.
Whatever.
Forest
bad
or a Cadillac,
date.
They're going to murder you.
Like, bad
your
first
number's
date.
Up, your number's
All
up.
Right, but bad first date, even. You don't want to be stuck. That's why you don't want to take a cruise. You need it out. You need to have an out. That's
yeah.
not a bad plan.
Yeah.
I
true.
Just, I don't know what's, why you think hiking is so dangerous, though.
It isn't.
No,
it's
just,
fresh air. It's exercise. It's you're
to
talking
talk.
To each.
So
you're talking
the walk
to each other.
Into the bar.
Focus
you can sit
on each
outside
other.
At a bar. That's fresh air.
I think
you can talk.
Your connection with alcohol is a little more strong than your connection with men.
That could be.
Yeah.
That
could a be. Drink has never murdered me. That's what Allie's thinking.
All right. Here's Vicky, who writes in, Allie is correct. By the way, a hike as a first date, no way. And that guy, Sean, that tape you displayed, he's got a scary accent murderer voice.
Exactly, Vicky.
These are Allie's people.
All right, now I'm off.
Scary accent murderer
now
voice.
Now I don't want to be on their side.
I like Vicky a lot.
All right. So I guess the takeaway here is you're not going to meet Allie on hikersonly.com.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Go on, girl. Cool when they say that in the song.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry that song's over, Ralph, but it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's you. Here
Bean,
you are.
Bean is still making people unhappy.
What? What did I do?
Remember he was talking about how it's unacceptable to say anything about a child's age other than 6 months
yes.
or a year?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
that.
Listener Gary Brown writes in, 6 months is acceptable, 1 year is acceptable. This coming from Mr. 7/12 Christmas douchebag?
That's a good point.
Because that's
an excellent point.
Because that's about something important. Because that's about Christmas, the greatest day of the year. No one cares about your stupid, snotty-nosed kid. All right?
All right, listen, everyone. Bean hates kids.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't hate kids. But I what I'm saying is
you can't identify their ages by months, but you can identify Christmas by 7/12.
I'm saying the average person doesn't need to know that your kid is 23 and a half months old. They don't need to know that. Hey, my kid's two.
Hey,
that's
they
fine.
Also don't need to know it's 7/12 Christmas. For any reason.
No Except- one needs to know that. Some people may need to know how old your kid is to the month. Like you're...
Like you're bad.
So many reasons. So many reasons. You know, he's good. That Bono, he's good. He does good
he does
things.
He does a lot of good work.
All right. Now he's helping people see. You know, Bono has problems with his eyes, including glaucoma. And so he has dedicated himself to providing high-quality eye care to those too poor to afford it for themselves. He's working with the sunglass company Revo, and they are dedicated to bringing 5 million people medical eye care in need by the year 2020. Kevin, you get it now?
Because that's perfect vision.
There you go.
Yes.
Bono said, thanks to good medical care, my eyes are okay, but tens of millions of people around the world with sight problems don't have access to glasses or even a basic eye test. So this is his new cause.
For a guy that still hasn't found what he's looking for, I'm kind of impressed.
Mother of God.
That was just
what Chip said.
I'd like you to go on a hike on a first date with someone. That's what I would like to have happen to you right now.
I mean,
leave your cell
phone
behind.
Someone you met on inmates.com.
That's right, yes.
You're not even, look, I can't wait for, would you like
don't
to.
Don't even
there's
file
no
it.
Way you're standing by that. Just take it
take
back
Take it back
now.
Right now so we can move on.
You know what a stretch that was, right, Allie?
Take it
you
back.
You forced that in.
And it was terrible. We get it.
Can't
yeah, we get it.
No, we all got it. It was terrible, though.
But you didn't even lead with, oh, he has problems with his eyes? Maybe that's still why he hasn't found what he's looking for.
Oh, now you're fixing my file?
Well, I mean, something has to. It would have made some sort of sense at that point. Instead of, for a guy who still hasn't found what he's looking for, he's a pretty cool
Shay,
guy.
Shay guys?
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to say it in that
I wonder if he has a desire to help people. Yeah, see?
With or without good vision, like he's still there for his friends.
You're like some vaudeville comedian. High on the goofballs.
Oh, the kid hates you.
Oh,
sorry.
That kid. Kid's hard.
Thanks, Obama.
Right? Who's with me? Don't bogart that
Don't
short
not, not quite. Not quite there.
Don't even.
Eva Longoria from Desperate Housewives said she used to be a personal trainer before she was a successful actress. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
She is revealing her secrets to a fabulous physique for ladies everywhere. Did an interview with the UK's Daily Mail. And she says, running is one of the best forms of exercise there is. She really does have insight into this
That's
world.
That's a breakthrough right there.
How come people haven't been running for exercise previous to this? She says, jogging is a great hobby for travelers because you get to sightsee while you're burning calories. We don't need to hear any more.
I don't think
Gloria,
we
do
need to hear.
See, you get to see things while you're burning calories because you're running around.
Right.
Hey, look, there's the Hollywood sign.
Hey, look at that. Just don't do it on our first date. Up in the woods.
See?
All right. It's a new release day for DVDs, that is. Not for music anymore. Home, the kids' movie with Jim Parsons and Rihanna. That's available on DVD. Home release today. If you want to pick that up,
what if you don't?
It's real good.
Okay,
I mean, obviously it's for kids, but I took Olivia to see it. We really enjoyed that film. It's really good. And A Comet, a movie starring Justin Long and Emmy Rossum. And I liked both of those performers enormously, and I've never heard of this film before.
Comet.
Nor have
I. We have a clip of Comet. If you'd like to hear from the trailer,
really?
Would
now?
You like to hear some of
now
Comet?
Now you're going to start doing trailer clips as
would
well.
Would you like
as
to hear?
Songs.
You said you hadn't heard
now
of it.
Now it's not just songs
Forget
anymore. Now we have clips from
Forget
trailers.
It then. I'm not going
to
play it.
I'm dying to hear Comet.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude. All right, so I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Kevin, goddammit.
He sounds like he should be wearing a helmet and rocking back and forth while he's saying those things.
That's Omar's, was it high school?
I think it was college.
I think
it was college.
College. I think it's sad.
Movie
that.
Project.
I think it was his college thesis film for his his film school class.
You know what it wasn't? It's Justin Long and Emmy Rossum in Comet.
Oh, I got that wrong. No, you did get that wrong.
My bad.
Helix Season 2, also available on DVD today if you want to catch up on Helix.
I like the first season.
Nothing for you.
I like the first season.
Did you?
Yeah, but the second season was all kinds of honked up.
Oh,
well, like 10 years in the future, 40 years in the past. I'm the wrong person to watch this. What's next?
That's for sure. You don't want to jump around on your timeline with Kevin because you will lose him when you go, meanwhile.
Pretty quickly.
Already he's scratching his head.
I'm out.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Garfield creator Jim Davis is 70 years old today. Ugh, Garfield.
You love it.
Actress Lori Loughlin is 51. UFC president Dana White's 46, as is one of his fighters. Cain Velasquez celebrates his 33rd birthday today. Elizabeth Berkley's 43. Jesse, of course, from Saved by the Bell, and also the lovely and talented star of Showgirls. Jacoby Shaddix is 39 years old today from Papa Roach. And Afro Man's 41.
I was going to clean my room until I got high.
Had that other clip ready to go, didn't he?
I was going to get up and find the broom, but then I got high.
Not that one. Gave us a surprise.
My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why?
Yeah, because I got high.
All right.
Because I got high.
That's right.
Because I got high.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk about the lamest reasons you picked a sports team. Our little friend Chip.
Oh, Chip.
Chose to make the Miami Dolphins her team when she saw Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
That's,
as a little kid.
That is insane.
Is there a worse, are we going to get a worse example than that?
I don't think so.
I bet there are a lot of Anaheim Ducks fans who were introduced to the concept of a team playing hockey named the Ducks from the movies, the Mighty Ducks movies.
But
yes,
that
they were.
Was a movie about a team called the Mighty Ducks playing hockey, which is a lot more than just a guy talked out of his butt, rescued a pet dolphin that Dan Marino used to know. It's not like there was a football movie about the Dolphins and she fell in love with that sport. She fell in love with a guy talking out of his ass.
That's true.
Who helped the Dolphins.
That was her favorite part.
That's why she took that team.
Okay.
And
right.
She stuck with it all these years. Why? They're terrible.
Well, the incredible success. Yeah,
sure.
How do you get off that bandwagon when year after year they're in the Super Bowl?
Plus, Adam Carolla is on the program tomorrow. And live from Rio de Janeiro, we are going to talk to Ronda Rousey about UFC 190 this weekend.